All right, everybody. Welcome back to Dose of Reality Radio. I'm your host, Brian Stavely. Today I have Paul Knight with me again, Gloria Cannata, and I also have Mike Guadio back, who you guys saw on the My Awakening interview, episode 7, if you guys have been following that series at all. where we just what we're doing is interviewing various people in the different communities. For all different topics and just getting their kind of story about their awakening and whatnot. I don't know why my camera's not on. There it is. Gloria, nice default picture.
That's my Halloween picture.
Put it back up for 1 second so we can see
Sure, you got it on.
it. Say something so it goes big on the screen.
Hi, Brian. You like that?
Yeah. All right. So we had an interesting week, right? I mean, because last week we had the hold on, let me make my windows the correct size here. Last week we did a show that we had some controversy over from the Peanut Gallery, that's for sure. not even so much the show, more my post on Facebook about it. So that was a little ridiculous. But this week we want to talk more about the ancient trees, and we want to get into some topics that really tie together. Would be like ancient giants, titans. We brought Mike on; he wants to talk about that. Paul wants to get into some of the stuff about how day and night work on the flat Earth, how it ties in with some of my theories with the sun and our theories on Polaris and the moon and all types of stuff like that. We got a ton of Mandela effects. I know Gloria's got some. I got about probably 20, 25 of them, all from this week, with the exception of like three or four of them that are just old ones that I know some people miss, so I want to bring them up. So, where do you think we got you guys? We should start. How about this, Mike?
Yeah.
What made you first start looking into the idea that there is validity into a topic like, giants roaming the earth at one time?
Honestly, man, it was when in the after show, the after the awakening. Yeah. There was somebody who asked about mud floods and what I thought about giants and things like that. And it kind of just took over from there. Like, I started looking into mud floods, and I didn't get very far. And then I saw giants. And then just seeing the correlation between what some of these mountains look like and then facial features and things like that really started to bring it to life. Like, wait a minute, there's something actually going on here. This can't just be a random occurrence, from basic erosion. Like, it doesn't make angles like that. It doesn't do things like that.
Yeah, it is crazy. It's pretty deep shit too, when you think about it, what the implications are of it, Paul, what do you think? You've seen some of the stuff, right?
Well, the mud fossils are in giants in general.
Yeah.
Well, if you just look into it, you think, nah, it's crazy. Well, because you're talking about giants being fossilized, and that's just your critical thing. Oh, it's crazy. This is no way is there giants. But more you look into it, where Mike's gone in great detail, I've just looked at it into the giant trees side of things. So I'll do a bit of loop back then. Like you would say. Like half, I'm half and half with it. Not like against it. It's just that some of them you could say they're not giants. Do you know what I mean? And some of them look like stand out. It's like they've just been frozen time type of thing. You know what I mean? But I've seen a lot into it. I've looked into a lot because of Mike asking me to. Especially is it Mud Fossil University?
Yeah, they do
Up
some
on
pretty
there,
good.
he knows his little stuff on it that helps it because they've. Well, I don't want to go in too much if Mike was going to go too much into it,
Nah,
but
man.
yeah.
I mean, that's all good. Contribute as much as you can. I'm not an expert at this. Like, I've been at this a month and a half. I started looking just at the pictures, and then it's drawn me into more mythology, lore, things like that to really consider as being more of a historical account than just some story a bunch of, drunk indigenous people told around a campfire, and then the guy in the back's chiseling away on tablets to put it down. Like, I think there's a lot more we can learn just from our past, but it's been kept from us. Like, we're not supposed to really look at this at all. You're not, you know, you're supposed to look at rocks and mountains and things like that and go, oh, those are just rocks, no big deal, that it looks like a giant elephant, or that it looks like there's a guy sitting in a chair. Like, you're not supposed to pay attention to that.
I'll tell you what's funny, though, is, because remember you talking to me a few months ago about the heights, you know, how tall they are, and I was going, no, there's no way they're going to be that tall. And now, since I've looked into the tree stumps, oh, yeah, that's plausible. I've done a complete U-turn.
Yeah, because, I mean, you can't, like, that's the hard part, though, is you can't comprehend looking up at, say, like, the Sears Tower and imagine that being a living being. Like, running around, like, you can't. I mean, it's unfathomable, the size of these things.
Definitely.
And it just goes to further the point. It goes to further the point that, you know, like, how I always say, and Paul, and I'm sure you do, Mike, too, as well. I know you don't do shows or whatever, so people don't really hear your opinion as much. But, you know, there's no one ultimate truth yet. So, like, you know, people think that, oh, it's the flat earth or the Mandela effect, and you know, that's the be-all, end-all. There's always more, and it's – look how much deeper it is if this turns out to be true. I mean, it's crazy to think – and people are literally walking all over these things as if they're mountains. They're like rock climbing on these fucking things. If they were one-time living things, like, that's fucked up.
No, it is. I mean, when you think about it, like, you're walking on the grave or the last resting place of a being, and now, you know, you're taking pictures, jumping around, doing little dances, like, but you don't know, you know, like, I after I looked into it, like, to just look, driving through the mountains in North Carolina where I live was a whole nother experience. Like, to actually think about the possibility that somewhere in that mountain range could be a 2.5 mile, 3 mile tall being that nobody's seen before. You know, for me, it made me want to go out and actually start looking around in nature and being outside instead of just working and sitting at home watching TV or, you know, digging around YouTube to find information. It's right there. It's out in front of you. But it's hard to grasp these concepts because you're not supposed to pay attention to them. So, I mean, for me, like,
well, it's hidden in plain sight once again. And it's again, you know, you're supposed to go totally against what your senses would tell you, just like with anything, like, you're not spinning all this stuff, you know, you're told to ignore all your senses, but, and just like, this is right in front of you, man. You get, hey, that looks like a big elephant. Like those elephant ones, you know, all the elephant ones that sent me. There's like tons of them, dude. And they definitely look like elephants. How could that many? I could see one rock maybe looking like that. How could there be? Dude, there's like herds of them.
No, there is. I mean, you look at elephant rock in Iceland. Like, mm-hmm. And you look close at, like, you could see almost the skin structure to it. You can't tell me that's fucking erosion. That's not water erosion and sand and little pieces of debris hitting, like, granite and basalt. And making those perfect imperfections in it, like where you could see almost capillaries where things are in some of these stones and things like that. It's ridiculous.
I don't understand how come nobody ever really took an interest in testing, or they not allowed.
Say that again.
I says I'm surprised people haven't tested. To see what they are. I mean, they just take it and go, oh, okay, it's a rock, and they dismiss it. That's ridiculous. They don't look like rocks.
No, they don't look like rocks, but that's what they do.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead, Gloria. Sorry.
No, I was just saying, so I'm just surprised. I mean, you have all these archaeologists looking for stupid little shit, but nobody ever turns their attention to that and start doing DNA, you know, sampling and all this stuff. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Archaeologist is under the same bullshit scientism wing as the rest of the every science that has to do with the earth and geology and everything. It's all completely, and I'm not saying every archaeologist is, that they're completely manipulated, you know. They probably have to pass their results off to somebody else that analyzes their data through some sort of filter that they know nothing about, and it's all compartmentalized. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, or it's you bring it to a university, and then the university turns around and says, nope, you know, like, all right, so Roger Spurs with Mud Fossil University, and they dig deep into anatomy and a lot of the details that go along with mud fossils and things along that line. And he's had several different samples, DNA tested by Helix Laboratories. He's had them CAT scanned. I think that was done in Texas by a special company that's CAT scans like race car engines for minute cracks in the metal, things like that. And they've come back conclusive. The stones that he did were as close to 100% as you could get for human DNA. And he took these findings to different universities. Yale University told him that they're never going to be able to get on board with that. There was a couple other ones that just won't even look at it. The information has to be suppressed because it will literally, like, if this was out in the open and everybody decided to take this as absolute truth, it would fundamentally change how we look at history and where we come from as a race of beings in this existence. 100%.
All right, so what about the idea that do you believe that there are different races, or that we come from that race, and because of reasons like, say, limited oxygen now because of smaller trees and whatever other reasons, chemtrail, whatever you want to think it is, we're being kept to a smaller size? Is that a theory? Paul, you want to chime in on that? You thought something like that, right?
Well, when I was looking into Titans today, just because you were all about on the show, and I just did it on, you know, the Latin converter, and it came back, and it was like, the ones that they're the imprisoned ones. Well, we know the imprisoned in Tartarus, you know what I mean? But what was if, just I'm just thinking, you know, out of the box type of thing, what was if it was us that's the imprisoned? It's our consciousness has been imprisoned. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, what you're saying is the word Titan translated back from Latin literally means the imprisoned ones.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he showed me that today.
Oh, wow.
So what I did is I just typed it Titan into the Latin converter. It come up, you know, the Latin for it. And I just pressed the switch button, you know, to switch it back to see what it would be in English. It didn't come back up Titan. It come up the imprisoned ones straight away without me even typing it in. So like I was thinking, you know, I like to think different. What happens if we are the imprisoned ones? Do you know what I mean?
Like, could it be speaking of them in the sense as in the stories like in Enoch with like the fallen angels and then the stuff we were talking about last week with Antarctica could be like a prison?
It can be where they're imprisoned in Tartarus, it can be where they're imprisoned in Antarctica with it being like a cryo chamber. That's why it constantly stays at that, well, not stays, but you know what I mean, it doesn't fluctuate much between being frozen, you know what I mean? They're
encapsulated in stasis.
Yeah. I mean, could it be that we're descendants from the Titans? Because if you look in the Bible and stuff, we're made in God's image. Does that mean our souls? Does that mean our consciousness? Because obviously, like, all the animals and everything, you know, they've got souls and everything. So it can't be general looks. You know what I mean? I was trying to look at it from a spiritual side of point, but it just offers more questions. You know what I mean? It more you look into it, more things like pop up, and it goes to this way and it goes this way. It's just interesting to see, you know, what you come up with. You know what I mean? And pass your ideas across and see if anyone can run with it and make them something else. I mean, like I said, I was interested in this like topic, but not in a great deal. Not to really, really dig deep. And it was only for like Mike supposedly coming on last week, but he didn't.
But, I had to bring my daughter back to Knoxville.
So I really looked into it. And like I said, what I found in the space of like looking really hard into it in the space of a week blew me away. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I caught up. Go ahead, Gloria.
I'm sorry. No, I was just saying, Paul, when you brought up the Bible and, you know, it says that God said, let's create them in our image. So obviously there was more than one god, so that kind of makes sense as far as the giants.
Don't they say everything in threes, don't they?
Say that again?
They say everything's in threes. They said there's three.
Mm-hmm.
In the gods. God, the Holy Trinity, so there's supposed to be three.
Right.
And, I always seem to look at everything different, you know what I mean, than what people look at it, and it always leads me back to a certain way.
Isn't it amazing now how all these things that are these big, huge awakening ideas are really pretty simply right in front of our fucking face if we just look at it? I mean, you see C-3PO with a silver leg, you see that there's no curve, and you know that you never spun, and you see things that look like friggin' giants laying out as rocks, and it's literally all, and things that look like trees. I mean, it's all right in front of your face, and you've always been told to deny it, and that's crazy talk to talk about these things. It's like, no, it's the exact, everything's the exact opposite of what they tell us.
What they say. If you ever want to hide something, hide it in plain sight, right?
What they do, yeah. That's what they do. I mean, look at 9/11. They did it in the middle of New York City. You know what I'm saying?
No.
It's crazy.
No, it is crazy. But I wanted to touch on something Paul said real quick. With the imprisoned ones, how that translates from Latin back to English. I mean, if you really look like, and I'm, like I said, I'm not an expert, so I might get some of the minor details a little bit askew, but the basic premise is there. I mean, in the Book of Enoch, it says, you know, God had made the earth, men were on the earth, and angels got jealous of the women that were here. So they separated from God and came down and mated with the daughters of men. And that's what started the Nephilim. That's what started the different giants, because everybody thinks, oh, it's, you know, you have just a really tall guy or a lot of these other things. But you got to really like take it all into perspective, because there's a bunch of different ones running around. There was a couple different like races of giants, so to speak. So you had the angels that came down, and mated with the daughters of man and created the Titans. And those were the ones that were doomed from the beginning. they weren't even supposed to be here. They were an abomination to God. And those are the ones that terraformed this earth. They were, you know, if you watch No Forests on Flat Earth, I mean, those were the ones that were doing the quarrying, doing the mining, destroying everything. And they got, you know, their food source started to run out. They started literally destroying and depleting all the natural resources, and then they turned on each other. And they started,
so what about the tree? Did they cut the trees down?
Yeah, I believe so. I believe that was part of it. And during this mass destruction and all these things that they were doing, God got pissed. He was like, I'm done with this. You're destroying what I created. You're destroying the perfect, you know, this balance that I have here. And he opened up the sky and bam, he dropped water on them. And that was the end of it. Like, it literally fossilized them almost immediately is what I think, because there's certain pictures where, I mean, it's almost as if a sculptor did it, but there's also other telltale signs that think, you know, there could be possible anatomy behind it. But it would have had to happen extremely quickly. Like, not in the time frame, I think, that we're told now that it takes place, especially back then. It's a catastrophe. Like, it wiped out all of the junk that they did. You know, their destruction, not just destruction, like, even in the Book of Enoch, it talks about them doing things to man and women.
They devouring men? Didn't it say they were devouring men in the Book of Enoch?
Yeah, they started eating human beings. They were, you know, eating each other because their food sources run out. Like, they just couldn't stop consuming. But at the same time, thinking about it like that, I mean, it puts it in perspective what we're doing today as a human race. Like, we consume, we consume, we consume. I mean, it's like a repeat of history, except, you know, we're not eating each other.
All right, here's a question for you and for Gloria and for Paul. So do you guys think, you know, if this is true, I know this is all speculation right now for people that are watching, but I know you guys probably believe it to be true. I mean, you know, I'm just starting to look at it, but it's very interesting. So if the Tower of Babel is true, would these giants be the ones who built it to go and try and do something to God, or, you know, is that why it was built? And how?
Do you want to know what I think the Tower of Babel is? I've studied that for a really long time. I think what they're talking about as far as the Tower of Babel, I think it was a tree.
Yeah.
I think it was a tree because that was they wanted to build something in the heavens so they could communicate with God. You know, and I think that the Bible manipulated it and made it sound like it was an actual structure or building, but I think it was a tree.
And we've talked about the big trees, and we talked about we still think there might be one at the center, at Mount Meru, at the North Pole, whatever you want to call it there. The tree, Paul, I know you probably think the same, right?
Well, yeah, if you think about it, obviously with the giant trees, I believe there's different types of giant trees. I believe there was 12 to 14 of them, you know, they were the heaven touches. They touched the heavens. I believe that was like our hard connect to God. You know, a bit like Avatar, as I was on about last week. I believe they were actually heaven touches, you know what I mean? Miles and miles high. And then you just had generally normal, big, huge. Because obviously Earth was just one big forest, basically. You know what I mean? Until the flood. And the flood just come and buried a lot of things in the water. But on Mount Meru, I looked at it a different way as well when I was doing it a few weeks ago. I looked at, was Mount Meru a mountain and then the giant tree on the top? I started to look in, you know, the cardinal directions as well, north, east, south and west. I was talking to our mutual friend Jenna and I was talking, wouldn't it look funny if it was, things just popped out to me like north, could that be north for Nephilim?
Hmm.
Good. East be, it was S serpentum for lizards, the draconians. S was for sapient, for man. And west, it was like a Wendigo like type thing or Bigfoot. And they all pointed in the directions where roughly they are all seen. Now, if you think about now, if you was making people, you know, like God obviously making people, you would have to have, you wouldn't do it just straight away. You would have, I tried it, you know what I mean? In my rational head, you would try to have the perfect man type of thing. You'd have, go here for a giant type of thing. You'd have here for a, you know, because if you think about it, I've not really looked into, like, people think, like, the lizards and all the reptilians. I know we have a reptilian part of the brain and like a Neanderthal type of in our brain as well. But what happens if these locations, like Mount Meru, you notice there's four islands, surrounding Mount Meru.
Yeah.
Now, what happens if it was a different species on each island? Do you know what I mean?
So what do you think those species still exist, or they're all wiped out?
If you say 99% of what people say is false, you're still leaving 1%. Like, how many people have seen a Bigfoot type of creature? How many have seen lizard eyes on people? Everyone cannot be wrong. There have to be a small percentage.
Even the Sumerian texts talk about that. There's a lot of, I think it's the Emerald Tablets of Thoth. They also said that there were a bunch of different giants, a bunch of different species that ruled certain parts of the earth.
Yeah. Well, that's if I did the post, and if you put how it was slanted, you had the serpent, meaning man, going to Europe destination. You had the lizards going to Asia, the warmer climate. You had the Wendigo, the giant, like, Wendigos or a Bigfoot, because I've seen pictures, they look similar. I know why Wendigo is supposed to eat off a human and he's supposed to be from human, but if you look further back, they look like Bigfoot, and they went to like North America type, and the Nephilim north, they went like north, like to like Iceland, and not, I know it's on the map, everything was not 100% accurate, but it just stood out why four islands and the names would fit into it like that. I don't know, it's just an early theory of mine, but it's just another way to look at it.
It is a good theory,
because four goals type of thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, we always talk about how they're hiding the North Pole, and you know, obviously people think that there's a spiritual connection to God there, Mount Meru, obviously the magnetic center of the earth and whatever type of energy is being generated from there, and God knows whatever else is going on. But if this was part of that secret too. That'd be one hell of a reason to cover it up.
Well, you're having to go look at old maps and different ones where it used to be what people thought was Hollow Earth, and it used to just be like the North Pole, and it used to just be black, didn't it? And then all the land all around it. Well, there's never really been any like a full footage type of thing. They've always, it's, and even now it's gone blank now and it's just filled in. I would just like to think sometimes differently, you know what I mean? Think, how could this fit in that, but and run with it. But you know what I mean? I know some people call me like mad, but it's just how my brain works. It just looks at things differently.
Yeah, but
sorry. Like I said, and I don't knock anything. Like I said, Mike said, oh, look at this. And I looked into it, but I was looking into my crystal theory at the time. So that was taking all my attention. And then when Brian, you said he was coming on last week, I thought, well, I don't want to be like showing up, like not knowing anything. So I researched into it. And obviously, I'll talk about that a bit later to let someone else get a voice in.
Well, what you're saying makes a lot of sense, Paul, because if you read the Book of Enki, right, Enki talks about him and Lil and the way everybody was separated to different parts of the planet, you know, and took over that part of the planet. And they were all different races from different places. So that actually makes kind of sense.
It was just like the Great Flood type of thing came and they all had to disperse and they all moved to the four corners, which I do believe there's corners. I believe it's flat Earth, but you still can have a corner of a circle. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like your little section off on the side.
And you all went to the four corners. And it's just, it just got me like, what happens if that was the type of thing that happened? Do you know what I mean? Because a lot of, when the Great Flood happened, every religion, there is a flood story in the history, the oral history. So they can't deny that. Obviously, it's just when and how much damage happened, like.
No,
Well, go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, no, I mean, and it depends because you have, you know, from the Bible, it says that the flood wiped out pretty much all the Titans, all the giants, all the people that were supposed to carry on and keep going through the line of Noah and all the other ones that were with him. I mean, they're the ones that repopulated. So it really, you have to look into the different mythologies and see what they say and try to gain as much information as you can decipher out of that. Because, I mean, this kind of stuff really puts into perspective, like there has to be some kind of truth to mythologies, to the accounts of these ancient times, because they just wouldn't write this down for nothing. Like no reason. I mean, nobody's going to sit there and carve in emerald information that's just absurd. Like it's not a practical joke. This is just something that's been swept away. And even with that, like I think back then there were different base life forms. Like I think what you see from, you know, accounts of reptilians and like fish people and things like that were more silica based life forms. They weren't carbon. I think the entire this entire realm looked different then. Like it wasn't, this was a silica age then. This was the age of crystals. This was the age of, you know, you go back, it's like fairy tale land. I think those trees to a degree emitted a certain amount of light and heat based on how much energy they conducted being crystal and silica based trees. You know, a lot of it's speculation, but at the same time, I mean, you have like the purple lights and things like that. I forgot the exact name of it, but you know, it was a glow given off by Saturn through skylights in the firmament that would have changed the entire outlook on things. And you could see that through religious texts and histories of accounts of, you know, blue beings, blue gods, different color beings, things like that. So the entire landscape wasn't what we see today. What we see today is just a scrap heap. This is junk. Like we've been fucked over hard because it was an actual, like just majestic place. I mean, you imagine walking around and looking up in the sky and there's these giant things. Like there were species we don't even know about because they're non-existent anymore. Everything was destroyed.
What about the idea that when the trees were destroyed, that's what made the beaches? We touched on that last week, right, Paul?
Well, not so sense of beaches. Obviously, God talks about that's what he designed to keep the waters in, you know, from coming onto land as much. But all the desert. Yeah, like the back, there was that much of it chopped down that they had to put it somewhere. And it seems to like they've all put it in the center.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, I don't know if you watched last week when I was talking about the trees being crystal. When for my research for your show to come on and talk to you last week, I found that there was a rare mineral, a crystal called moissanite.
Yeah.
Now, everywhere I found this, there is a standalone. Near enough, out of 10 I looked, 9 of them were standalone and they just look like trees. And there's no way getting around it, you can see. So yep. This is a crystal. And obviously this type of crystal, I don't know if it have looked into moissanite. You have a diamond can shine. It's, you know, what's the word for it? The luminescence and the lustre and different thing. It puts that to shame.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking rainbows are coming out of moissanite. The man-made one, because right. they have to make it. Do you know what I mean? The silicon carbide, you have to make it because there's not enough of this because it's all stretched around. It's hard to find. Now, we've been talking, was it the trees are made out of this or was this the giants, what was left of the giants? Because I believe they, like you've said before, they looked after the trees. They were like the tree herders type of thing. And like they chopped them down at like saying a big fuck you to God. Do you know what I mean? Like you've said.
No, I don't know if they came, you know, and that's the hard part because it that's, you know, it's hard to prove.
Either so way, I wasn't,
like, but to speculate, I mean, yeah, I think, you know, I think it could have been either a byproduct of both because if everything was totally different, like silica base.
I even thought, could it be what was left of the firmament? There's all that possibility. I mean, when I was looking into the trees, I didn't look at the trees. I looked where this moissanite was found. I looked at one tree and found, oh, there's a remnant of moissanite there. So I then scrapped looking for trees and I just looked where moissanite is. And where moissanite was said, you're talking Australia. What's Australia? Uluru or Erzrock. And you've got one that's called, what's it now? Glass Mountains. There's ones in Brazil. Everywhere this moissanite is, there is what you're looking at, and you're like, wow, that just looks like a tree. It's not like no debate.
Right.
If I showed you the picture, you said, yeah, that's a. And at all these locations, something religious overtones were it. There's myth, loads of like folklore. There was giants, in the myth lore, giants hanged around these locations. So that was looking for giant trees, but actually looking for this mineral that led me to every one of these hits. And that's what astounded me. I wasn't even looking for trees. I wasn't. I was looking for locations of these this moissanite.
It's funny how breadcrumbs work, man.
Yeah.
It really is.
It's tougher than diamond. And it's second to diamond on, do you know, like, what was it? On the scale or something. So it's right up there. And it's like you said, in low light or anything, this thing just bright. It just, you're talking like, you know, like an old tech rave type of thing with the glow sticks and things.
Yeah.
It just completely blows anything out of the water. Like, go on, Glory. No, she turned off. I'll tell you what, I was interested in what I found, you know, because you were on about Titans. There's obviously, there was 12 Titans. And I've been looking at the 12 for my day and night thing. You know, on the crystal firmament, there's always seems to be 12, the 12 apostles, the 12 titans, 12 zodiac, 12 apostles, the 12 gates of heaven. And that's why I come to was it 12 giant trees? Do you know what I mean? Like huge heaven.
Yeah, the massive heaven. Ones. Like, yeah, like the mesa, like you see that mesa in South Africa? I think it's in Cape Town, where that one would have been roughly 60 kilometers tall.
Yeah.
Like, it's unbelievable to think about. 60 kilometers. Like, we're ants. We're mosquitoes compared to that.
Mike, when we talked about the giants, we didn't mention the actual size. And I know that there's a measurement of these, what was it, like 300 L's or something, and they said it's like 2 miles, and then there's other ones you think are even taller, like the Titans. Why don't you tell people exactly how big we're talking these things are?
Yeah, so pre-Diluvian, which means before the flood, you had like different ones. So you would have, you know, your normal giants, right? 40, 50, up to 450 feet tall. And then after that, I mean, the standard of measurement that they give was L. So how that translates out to modern measurement would be about 45 inches per L. So if you, you know, roughly 3,000 L's comes out to 2.164 miles, was how big some of these things are. And you can look, I mean, in some of those pictures I sent you, Brian, the one in Peru.
You want me to bring the pictures up?
Yeah, if you want to bring that up. I mean, that, it's good to give like a size comparison because it's...
Yeah, hold on. Let me get the folder open with the photos. And then I will, here we go. Open that. And I just got to do a screen share real quick. Give me 1 second.
Nah, you're good. Oh.
It just shows you how things, because like I said, he was on about L's. And when I researched it, they were talking cubits.
Yeah. And but that was also another standard of measurement from the tip of the finger to the, you know, your elbow. I mean, there was. It's hard because you go through one, like you say, you know, you have L's and then there's cubits, and it guaranteed in another part of, you know, Earth at that time, it was a totally different standard of measurement.
Because the one I looked into was 4,500 feet tall.
Do you guys see my screen or no?
Yeah,
so it's the one in Peru. There's a little lake in front of it.
Yeah. Oh, it's just for some reason. Hold on. Let me keep it so it stays on mine even when you guys talk. All right. So, you got to. This is showing Lake Superior giant. Hang on.
Yeah. I mean, and that thing is enormous. Like, if you look from left to right, I mean, you could see that there's definite features there. It's not as pronounced as the one you'll see when you pull it up. But, I mean, you could clearly see what looks like a head drops down under a chin, into a neck area, and then comes back up as if there was a chest. You know, I mean, some of them are a little bit ambiguous, and some of them are way more like, holy shit, that definitely can't be caused by, you know, rain and erosion.
I'm fixing the screen share. I know it went away for a second. Hang on. I'll get back to the pictures. Yeah, my bad. This will be easier if I just share my entire screen and do it this way.
Yeah, so one says Peru. So in the left column, it would be four down.
Left column, four down?
Yep.
All right. Right here?
Yeah. So who sees just rocks? Like, is anybody?
Person laying on his side.
Yeah. I mean, and it's crazy because...
You see it everywhere. There were only like a couple that I really had to struggle to see it. Some of them are like I said, the elephants are crazy. And then like the ones with there's just a lot of ones with like huge heads and like detailed faces. You can see nose, eyes, lips. It's pretty crazy stuff.
Yeah. I mean, there's a Catalina Island one that says pregnant giant. I mean, and there's features. And then they do a close up on the belly and it's unbelievable what's in there. It actually looks like a fetus. And it's insane, but you could see here, like, that there's a head, there you have the neck, shoulders, arm, coming down the leg. I mean, and it's different than the rest of the landscape. It doesn't look like what's around it. Like, you could see transitioning metals coming down, running down the side, you know, right along those areas. I mean, that's not just different dirt. When you bleed, and you have dried blood, the blood stays and the iron in your blood is still left over. So if these things are actually alive, I mean, you could see coming down the neck. There's different coloration there. There's different coloration coming down all the way around the base of the hill that it's on. That's different than what's right next to it, to the left.
Yeah, you don't see it on the rest at all.
No, you don't. So to me, that suggests decomposition because the metals in your blood and in your body and different crystals to, you know, crystalline composites are coming out and there's nowhere else for them to go. So they might've just soaked into the soil. And then over time, as that was more exposed and more exposed, now you're getting down to the area that's exposing what actually came out of it. you know, and I mean, like I said in the beginning, I'm not an expert, you know, and Mud Fossil University goes into a lot more detail than I can on that. I'm just not as well versed. But these are telltale signs. Like, you look at some of these stones and they're very porous. It looks like, you know, when you get down to a microscopic level and look at a chicken bone, and there's the tiny hole all over the place. I mean, almost as if spider webs. Like, and that's another really good one right there, Brian.
I'll just go in order. It'll be easier if I can. Can you skip around if I just go in order by the way the pitches are saved?
Yeah, and I could explain some of them to you, but I mean,
all right, yeah. So what's this? What are we looking at here?
I mean, that to me looks like that's a giant that has been laid down. And
yeah, with belly up, belly up. By its side. Yeah,
same thing. I mean, you could see the iron deposits. You could see a lot of the other stuff. I mean, and there is some of these pictures, like, and I think I tried to give you the ones that were a little bit more clear than some of the other ones, because some of these videos are out of control with what they're trying to say.
Well, look at this one.
Yeah, go back one though, real quick.
It's fucking Abe Lincoln leaning over here doing the Matrix lean.
Right, but even with this, I mean, there's a face. Like, that's the proportions of a head, of a face. And these are actually, you know, considered mountains to the left and to the right. And the proportions are there. It's not random, in my opinion. Like, you know, anybody could take this and do whatever they want with it. You could think what you want. I'm not trying to change your mind. I just want you to start questioning things, because this needs to be questioned.
It just shows you think about it. Even when I was talking last week about what makes up soil, 45% of the soil is mineral, including crystal and what's up. So that just shows you how much of the flood brought all the, you know, all the sediments and different things.
Yeah,
to cover these, because you're talking like only 5% of the soil is dead bodies of animals and plants. So it just shows you the texture of how much minerals was in the water, whatever. Because obviously, if we knew what the contained in the flood, then that would give you, you know, because I believe it, like we said, a few people do, like it came from the Great Rift, do you know what I mean, in the firmament, what they call the Milky Way. And I believe it's a heavenly water. So you don't know what is in this water, what minerals, was the DNA in that? Because, I mean, you know, my original theory is that we came from the firmament in the first place. Do you know what I mean? So it just opens up a hell of a lot of possibilities, and it's too interesting not to look into.
No, it is absolutely. I mean, like, the more I look into it, the more, but the farther back I keep going, like, you start looking, you know, Book of Enoch, and then you start going into like lore and mythology and the Norse mythology, you know, and how trolls turn to stone in the sunlight. And there's all these different stories, but the only thing that really changes besides the premise is what they call giants, what they call titans, what they call trolls, all those kind of things. I mean, that's a that picture right there you showed, Brian, you can pull that back up. I mean, you could tell, like, looking down the leg bone that at some point in time was a being.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, that one, because you see down the leg bone, like, there's fibrous material right there. Like, right down the shin, there's fibrous material that's not just stone. Like, a sculptor's not going to sit there and go inside and take the outside of the leg off and make details for muscle. That's not going to happen. You're not going to get breaks like that. You can see down at the bottom, there's iron. Like, there's all kinds of iron deposits on the bottom of that where transitioning metals would have come out.
I mean, you, like, with them titans that you're on about, you've just got to look into them, because obviously different religions have different, you know, giants, Nephilim, titans, in mainly Greek and that type of area. But I was just looking into today about the titans, and it was the titans who came from Uranus and Gaia, meaning Mother Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And some myth goes further back, saying that Gaia was conceived by the ether. So the ether was the god of the heavenly light and upper earth. So, and obviously Tesla talking about the ether, which no one, you know, we know it's there, but no one's ever seen it. Is this the ether? Is ether from the North Star, the Polaris? That's why it's always there. Who knows? You know, we're just throwing ideas out.
Yeah, but what if the ether is what causes consciousness?
Exactly.
And that's why we're here, because that signal's given off. You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, that is old folklore, and they say God of the Heavenly Light. So the ether could be everyone's consciousness, and that's where we came from.
Mm-hmm.
Type of thing, you know, like a spiritual. Like, I mean, I used to be a big Stargate fan. You know what I mean? And they have, like, the ancients, they ascended back to pure energy and light. And then, you know what I mean? So it's the same type of thing. You have it in Star Trek as well as Q. You know what I mean?
Right. He's, you also hear about, like, near-death experiences where people have died and they've been dead for 30 minutes, and that's what they see, is light beings and feel pure love. I mean, there's other ones that, you know, they feel the exact opposite, but there's a commonality between a lot of them where you have pure light beings. You have these concepts where, you know, it's not explained here because we're stuck in a position mentally where we can't comprehend that because we've been imprisoned in our own brains. We've been told
that's what I was on about before, you know, about being the Titan descendants, and we're imprisoned. Are we self-imprisoned?
Well, I mean, if
you know, consciousness.
Right, but if you think about it, you know, flat Earth and it has a dome, I don't know what else to call it. Like, we can't leave. We're here.
And now, once you start researching the truth, and we've said about Brian, and we call it consciousness tunneling, we're connecting, you're seeing things, and then the light switch gets turned on, you can't turn it off. And then you become infectious then, because I'll say, Brian, and what about this? And even though you might not be interested, you'll take it on board, and people pass on these ideas. And that's like basically everything's gone viral, like we're walking Wi-Fi spots type of thing.
Well, look what Mike said when I asked, when did you start looking into this? And it was because we did the awakening interviews, and people are sharing ideas. The exact reason why I did those interviews, and I'm continuing to do them, because people will bring out their different theories. And what was it? Somebody in the chat, right, Mike? They brought it up.
Yeah, and somebody in the chat asked about mud floods and what I thought about giants. And then right after that, Paul asked me what I thought about Bigfoot. So, I mean, but I sat down after that and I was like, man, mud floods, you know, oh, what's that? Just a couple landslides here, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. No big deal, right? No, it was a big deal. Because even in that, I mean, you know, I didn't dig deep into that because there wasn't really like a beginner place for it except for to ask people. So I asked in, you know, Real News Online on Facebook. And I got a brief explanation, and I didn't really pay much attention to it after that because I was stuck on giants.
You've been awful quiet.
No, I'm just taking this all in. I love it. I love it.
So you're known as the Bible lady around here. So what? Have you seen a lot of references to this type of stuff in the Bible, in Enoch and other writings?
And yeah.
What have you thought about it until you've actually started to look at it? Did you not take it literally before? Because you know how you're supposed to take everything figuratively that they don't want you to look at. So,
no, even from a very young age, I never took the Bible literal. I always read in between the lines, you know. And the same thing with the so-called scriptures that never made it into the Bible, like the Book of Thomas or the Enoch. You know, you definitely have to read in between the lines. And when you do, it forms a completely different picture than what people understand. They think they understand it means. And yeah, I do think that they do reference giants, but there's a lot of information. Like I said, if you just dissect it and you take your time, it definitely shows a different story. You know, I find it interesting. I've been doing it for years, and it's the same thing with the Hebrew Bible or the Quran or any kind of, you know, spiritual book. You have to just read in between the lines and not take what they say literal. Yeah.
Mike and Paul. So, Paul, I mean, we're going to get more into some of the stuff going on in the sky, you know, what our opinions, the sun, the moon, how night and day work, the firmament, the layers of the firmament, whatnot, all the stuff we've been talking about. I think you and Mike both brought this up to me about the windows in the firmament. And if there are windows in the firmament, do the biggest trees, the 12, 14 prominent ones you talked about, Paul, would those reach through those windows?
I think that's what they connected there personally. It just seems so funny. Why is a 12 everything, you know, like the zodiac? And like I've said, the list goes on. I've done posts on it. The list is it's just like huge. It just gets bigger of all the 12s. So I don't know. Do you want me to start with my thing now, or did you want to plan something out?
No,
Go you, go in. Yeah, like I said, when I heard all these 12, I got into a theory that how was night and day created on flat Earth? Because when you look at a flat Earth, it does get touched on, but it's not. It's just like half day and half night. You know, it really doesn't go into detail. So I just thought, well, how could it happen? I mean, and then I was into the liquid crystals and that's what the firmament is. But for some reason, I don't know how I got to it this day is I just thought, well, once if you put the flower of life as a pattern and it had 12, you know, 12 discs on top of the earth, because flower of life is anywhere, it's all done by design. So if you had the flower of life on the firmament, and then I called them polarized filters because it was easy for me, you know, to get my head around. And Polaris, the North Star, or it could be this thing I've just found about today about the ether being the heavenly light. What happens if this was just constantly over us, pure energy? And if you think about now, you can't, it'd be too bright to see. So you have to have some form of night and day to get most of the population asleep, one awake. That's
yeah,
why time zones exist. You can't have everyone because obviously there's nothing left of the food and different things. You need to have a rest. So I thought, oh, well, I came up with this, whereas each of these discs was controlled. The firmament slowly moved, you know, in a 24-hour period. And then on top of that, of these flower of life design on top, they were separate and they moved to create day and night underneath. So if you think about it, when you look on my channel, you'll see polarized filters shining. I mean, your laptop's polarized light. It just means it's constant. And that's why North Star never moves. So it's constantly coming down on us. We need an off switch. So I looked into this, and these filters, they just turn. And the more they turn, the more that blackens out underneath. It is so simple. So you think about these circles just turning, and obviously through the day, and that's how it gets darker, and they're moving. So you've got night and day, and they're all interacting, or they're all turning in a direction and turning. So it's just creating night and day. It's so simple. I mean, why have the 12, everything, everywhere? The 12 trees connected to God. You had the 12 apostles. You had in Islam, there's the 12. I won't like to say it because I don't want to offend anyone who's on Islamic. There's 12 of them. That's where I started from, just thinking about the 12. Oh, well, there's 12 filters in the sky. And they turned, obviously, like it's an hourly type of thing. They just moved, creating night and day underneath. So that thought to me, well, what is the sun and the moon for? So that got me thinking, well, I've researched and found that some people believe the sun is a focusing crystal. So what light does come through was hitting this, and that actually really focusing the rays on different parts of the earth.
That's exactly how I think the solar simulator is working.
Like I said, a magnifying glass. You know, you put it out in the sun and it defines the thing. Because, like I said, you go up in altitude, you've got the sun, you're supposed to be closer to the sun, so why is it not hotter? Well, that's just because the molecules in the air, there's not as much of them compared to down below, so there's not much of a vibration. The vibrating slowly, so it's not as hot. Further you go down to the ground, the more vibrating quickly in the earth and molecules, and that's what keeps, you know, the temperature at a certain temperature. So that left to me, what would the moon be? Well, that's when I thought about my internal clock, the circadian rhythm. We all go to sleep certain parts of the day when you feel tired, and this is your circadian rhythm telling you need to sleep. So what if the moon was a device sending out a harmonic frequency to make you feel tired? You know what I mean? And that's what I just got to with that day and night. I just wanted to put it into a different way instead of saying, oh, well, it's the sun's localized and rays and circular rays do this.
It's like I always say, how long are we going to sit there and tell people, you know, there's no curve, there's no spin? I mean, you gotta evolve the conversation way past that. Gloria, I mean, Paul's talking about frequency coming from the moon to, you know, adjust your sleep patterns or whatever. What do you think about that? That sounds right up your alley.
Well, you know what? I think that, I don't know, it's really weird because about 10 years ago, I really did believe that we went to the moon, that whole crap about it. And then when I started, I know.
Well, we all did.
Yeah.
I didn't know 2012. It took me till 2012 to figure it out.
Yeah. But then when I started, like, I really took an interest in it, like with vibration and frequency and stuff like that. I started looking up at the moon a lot, and I noticed that you could see clouds move behind the moon. And I'm like, oh my God, this is like a hologram. This is not even real. You know, this is a projection, a projector or whatever. And I think it's there to control certain frequencies, to be honest with you.
I think it's also there to distract us from the real great light of the night, and that being Polaris. I think Polaris is the key, like Paul talked about too. We actually did a show, I don't know if you remember, Gloria, the three of us, one of the first shows we did on video, right in the title, I titled it The Great Light of Polaris, because we had touched on this. And it's so great how when we talk about all our different theories and we put stuff together, whether it's Paul's idea of the turning parts of the firmament, and I've before spoken of different layers in the firmament turning, as many other people have as well, but it also ties in with my ideas of the solar simulator, and then it ties in with I mean, it just all seems to tie in.
The sun simulator.
Yeah, the sun simulator, and my idea, like I've been saying for a while, and I know Mike knows I've been saying it, and I don't know if he's on board, but I think he might think the same thing, and I think Paul might. I mean, the moon doesn't appear solid. I think it's a projection or a hologram of some sort, you know? And that's why it makes it impossible to actually track its location as well.
Well, yeah, and it's definitely like not a natural celestial body that's there, because, I mean, even if you subscribe to what modern science says and everything else, it doesn't act like any of the other ones that are supposedly in the solar system around these other guys. Like, it doesn't. And there's always been something wrong with that, even before, you know, I didn't believe we've ever gone to space or that a lot of those things aren't there. I mean, it just, it didn't sit right, like, at all.
Yeah, I wonder, because, you know, there's always technology that they have that we don't know about. But, like, for instance, if they're going to have projection technology, hologram technology, it's going to be, you know, I mean, we might give them too much credit, but it is going to be a decade or two farther than what we see. You know, it might not be 100 years, but it's going to be farther than what we know about. But, like, so the moon gives off cold light. We know that from temperature experiments and whatnot. The opposite properties of the sun totally debunks the idea that it gets its rays that are reflecting off the sun and all that shit. We know that if you've been into flat Earth for a little while. We do have equipment out there, you know, that produces cold lasers that can produce that effect. So is there also a technology using a cold laser and a projection combined? And I tried to look into this a bit this week, and I haven't really been able to find anything yet. And I've been wondering if anybody has heard of a cold laser projection, if that even exists. I would tend to think that could be a possibility of some sort. And then the question is, where is the source light? Would you guys think it's coming from the ground? It's coming from something that NASA's putting in the air?
Well,
is it coming from...
Like, I showed you a few weeks ago, and I've not looked really into it yet. I was going to say something first, but I'll say this before that because it's in my head fresh. Remember when I was talking to you about nanocrystals and how they're so small but they're so light? You could just compact them. They give off so much light. They're much easier to put up in the sky to create, you know, obviously your sun simulator. But what I was thinking of quickly before I forget is,
it's not really my sun simulator. I don't own it, but
I know. But you know what I mean. You've for it. Even this week, we were looking into the moissanite. Some of the sun simulator stuff's made out of the moissanite, the artificial one.
Yeah.
Just think about now the sun and the moon. That's like duality. They're both together. Now I'm into Egypt a lot, and a lot of people know that the sun and the moon, even though there's different names, sun and the moon was Horus, his eyes. They don't actually know it's both eyes, but it is. Even though they call the moon like Thoth and different things and different ones, it's actual Horus's eyes, the duality of it. Now, think about this. What do you call it in the morning? The sun rise. You are rising. What do you do when you go into sleep? The sun is setting. You're setting. You're going to sleep. So it's all been put in place in your head to get your circadian rhythms ready for the morning. You rise when there's light, and when it goes dark, you set and you go to sleep. And once your circadian rhythm gets into a rhythm, it's set. It's like if you ever did nights a lot and then you go back to work and day, it really affects you. once your body is in this rhythm, you don't. Sometimes you don't even need a clock to wake up in the morning. You'll wake up minutes before your alarm goes off. Yeah. It's inbuilt. So we're like a machine type of thing. I don't want to say a machine, but that's how I'm seeing things. The sun rises, we get up, the sun sets, and that's what the sun and the moon's job is. And I believe they're both from crystal. I mean, I look further back.
Well, they also have another job too, as far as like growing crops and stuff. You know, one has like a dry heat, one has like a moist effect. You know what I mean?
If you're talking about crystals and what type of crystal it would be, no one could really know, because they have the energy properties of a crystal focusing that energy down onto Earth, do different things. It's showing like certain things grow better with food. I've done it in my crystal theory. They grow with arc experiment. They're growing food better.
You know how if you're shining light through a crystal or through a prism, you know, it'll come out, you know, it'll disperse in the rays out, like, right? But if the crystal isn't still and it moves a little, like the center beam, at some times it could focus and make like a straight beam almost. And it kind of reminds me of the picture you sent me out your window where the sunlight looked like a straight beam.
Yeah, the ray.
Does what I'm saying make sense?
Yeah. I mean, it definitely makes sense. I mean, of course, what I say then. Yeah, like I said, Pythagoras. He's the only one. He's not a flat earther in a sense, but he's the only one I found that said the sun is a crystal.
Mm-hmm.
No, and no one, you know what I mean? Nothing gets said about that. Oh, he did this, he did that. But why are you not saying he said the sun's a crystal? That bit gets left out. You know what I mean? So it's just crazy where everything gets left out on purpose so you don't look into it.
Well, they just make them seem like they're crazy, so we don't look into it.
It's like me looking for this moissanite. Like you don't realize how hard it is to find where this moissanite does. Do you know what I mean? It took me hours and hours and days just to find certain pages to say, this is where we find it raw. It's like a blanket ban on it. Or if you type moissanite in, you'll just get rings. You know, the synthetic one that they're making.
Yeah. But, yeah. So those ones where there were people showing it, they're wearing like moissanite jewelry. That's moissanite made in the lab, so it's not even real moissanite. So how do they even get away with calling it moissanite if you make it in a lab and it's not the actual mineral?
I know, it'd be so much for like a synthetic. You know what I mean?
It's like the fucking scam ever. That's like a cubic zirconia instead of a diamond, even though we know diamonds are nowhere near worth what they say and all that shit. But you know what I'm saying by the comparison.
You would think this moissanite, raw moissanite, would be dearer because it's rarer than the diamond.
Oh, yeah, way. So they said it's the second hardest after a diamond, but it has the best as far as putting the light through it. Toughness, and shit, right?
Yeah, it's tougher than a diamond, but not. It's weird, it's technical, it's like, it's more durable. It can withstand up to more, it doesn't melt. Like, you put a diamond in the same heat, it just melts the diamond, whereas the moissanite just stands firm. You know what I mean? What better thing could you have for energy transference and other thing than this main ingredient? I mean, all we're talking about the giant trees. I've not even mentioned where they all connected down below. Straight to what I said the crystal core is. Even mainstream science are saying the Earth's core is a giant crystal.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Just read about that.
Do you know what I mean? I've been posting this on all the veins, spreading out all over the planet, basically like a giant internet, and sending information and whatnot about to all these trees and different things. And nothing gets said about this. You know, just me like screaming, crystal, it's crystal, Paul. You know what I mean? So,
hey, you're the cat loving crystal guy. Gloria's the Bible lady. So, you know, it's all good. Gloria, your mic's muted. Nobody can hear your sermon right now.
Yep. You're okay, you know, actually, now you see, you just made me ruin my train of thought. You know what it is? I think when you start talking about crystals and stuff like that, I think a lot of people are like, oh, they're New Agers, you know, the whole.
Well, that's what the church died. Huh? I mean, I've seen some of them saying, oh, no. Everyone uses crystals, and even the church did, but they didn't want people to find out. Even, like I've said, Tesla, he thought they were alive. So are these remnants for the giants? Are they remnants for the trees? All this crystal, do you know what I mean?
Yep.
Is that the bit that's containing the DNA, like I've said on numerous occasions, that the library for all DNA is stored within the Mother Earth, her brain, the giant crystal, and that gets passed around, you know, type of thing. It's just so many possibilities that you think of, and like I said, it sounds crazy until you look into it and you connect the dots. I mean,
it all connects. I mean, look, and we've all kind of gone off looking at similar things, and that we all look at the flat Earth, we all look at the Mandela Effect, you know, we all look at, you know, other fake media stuff like that, but we all have our little thing, and you kind of went off looking at the crystal thing. Mike's been looking more at the Titans and the Giants. I've been looking more at the Mandela Effect or whatever, and but we still all kind of dabble in each, and we share our ideas. And when you get used to people and you can trust them enough to at least look at their idea, you know, don't just ever trust anybody's research on its own. But when you guys can narrow a topic down for me and I can narrow a topic down for you and we can pass it on, it's really productive, I think.
It's all connected, Brian. I think it's all connected. It's just pieces to a puzzle.
Yeah. I mean, there's even a thing called the crystal gene. And that is what supposedly gets activated when you start being more conscious and more aware. And then they're talking about DNA strands and the mystery of this 12th DNA strand. You're talking 12 again. Do you know what I mean? These numbers.
No, how about this? Because we've talked about it. We touched a bit last week. And I know Gloria is still interested in it. And we haven't heard Mike's opinion. Mike, your opinion on crystal skulls.
Now, I think they could have possibly have been like a being that's crystallized, because there are like other skulls. There's animal skulls, and I'll send this picture to you so you could actually put it up. But like, it's a crystallized animal skull. It's unbelievable. Like, so, you know, for me, it's kind of a toss up. They're all kind of mysterious, but they could have been, you know, extremely important beings that just ended up turning to crystal through a process. I mean, because there's no tool marks. That's the problem. There's no tool marks at all on any of those skulls. Like, if you're going and cutting granite, if you're going and cutting concrete, if you're going to cut this stuff, you're getting tool marks. No matter what, even microscopically, you're getting tool marks on these things. So, you know, I mean, it's a very good possibility that those could have been smaller silica beings that just, you know, hardened completely.
Can you guys see my screen?
You can't.
Oh, hold on. Can you see it?
Those are crystals growing on an animal skull.
Look at the teeth on it.
Yeah, they're crystallizing completely. So, like, you know, I mean, what happens in 50 years, 100 years? What's that going to look like? Is it going to be solid, clear, colored crystal? Who knows? But that's kind of where my premise for that comes from. I mean, if it's possible there, where else is it possible?
Now, one of the ones that really grabbed my attention earlier, we were talking about the elephants, and there's so many. Look at this thing. I mean, look at the size of the trunk on that thing. Can you see it?
Enormous.
Gloria, have you seen these ones?
Yeah, that's a really big trunk. Uh-huh. I've seen that.
There you go.
That's crazy.
There's tons of these.
Is the picture of that whole island on there? On that set I sent you?
Let me see. Yeah, I see an island, yeah. Hold on, I'll bring it up right now.
No, that's the dolphin one. That one's...
Wow! Kind of,
yeah, to me, that one's kind of suspicious. Like, I'm suspect of that one. But there was, like, the top view of Elephant Island. And the whole, like, the outlay of it looks like it's a giant elephant. Like, the whole island. It's pretty remarkable. But that's not the only one. There's hundreds of them. There's camels.
Oh, the camel one's crazy. Did you send me that?
Yeah, there's camels, lizards. So I'm going to send you them right now. I mean, they're all over the place. Like, giant footprints. There's an eagle. Another bird.
Gargoyle.
And here's a horse.
The gargoyle one is really mind-blowing.
Yeah. But the root of gargoyle is what's crazy, because it's a Jay Dreamers. It's a guy who delves into a lot of this, and I've watched a lot of his shows.
Yeah, his video's good, huh? I've seen like three of his videos. They're real good.
Yeah, they're real good. And I mean, he's really knowledgeable. He presents it well. He goes into extreme detail, although he kind of goes off on a tangent every once in a while, but it's still important information to get. And what he's saying is gargoyles, the root of those words with etymology, because etymology is important. The way where the words we use come from and how they came about to the modern language we have now makes an entirely big difference to what mm-hmm. we're looking at. And gargoyles, I mean, those were the gargling ones. Those gargle from the word gargle, from the flood, to spew forth water for eternity. I mean, and even eternity was, you know, to them, from what he says, is just a time frame. It's just to the end of an era, to a new era. So, and you see a lot of those gargoyles on ancient cathedrals and churches and things like that. And a lot of them have downspouts coming out of their mouths. And then it just turned into an ornamental thing to ward off these evil mm-hmm. spirits and things like that.
Look at this. Look at the skull with the eyes and the nose and the mouth.
Yeah, mm-hmm. you could see the layers. You could see the porosity in that rock. You could see the different colorations from the metals that have come out of it.
Yeah, like look at the gray hair and the gray hair. Like, you wouldn't just see that on a rock. What is the rock fucking peeling away? Like, it doesn't even make sense.
No, I mean, it doesn't make any sense at all. Maybe, yeah, if you check these this? Ones out, that is an opalized heart.
Oh, and wow.
I saw this on the video. It was really yep. colorful. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you can see all that blue is different metals that holds that chamber together. All the different ventricles are there. Like, I don't know what animal it's from, but it looks like an opalized heart. I mean, there's a lot of them. Like, you'd be surprised what you could go out in your backyard and find just with the eyes you have after going through some of this stuff. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Look at this guy laying down.
Yeah, that's that one. But I just sent you, like, there were six of them, and those were with the animals. And those ones are pretty crazy.
What are we looking at here? Oh, my God. Look at this camel.
So this stuff's out there. And, I mean, you know, I think some of this you're going to need some discernment with and trying to figure out exactly what it is. I mean, but there's some extreme detail to that. And, you know, like a couple of them, I'd say I'm still a little suspect of, but, you know, the next one right after that camel is a giant dude. It looks like a giant iguana.
Look at this thing. Look at this bird.
Eagle rock.
Wow.
Look at that bird. Look how big that bird is.
Bird.
That's way bigger than transvestite big bird. With the white feathers on his head.
Yeah. I mean, go to the next one. It's another big-ass bird stuck in one position. Now, how, like, then? But that's where what I'm saying is that thing's with his wings spread out. So whatever took place in order to fossilize that creature must have happened almost instantaneously.
Wow, this looks like a big owl.
Yeah. I mean, but it would have had to happen quick.
Right.
Against
very quick. So, like, that, but then, you know, if you go back in the Bible and things like that, they say a day for God is 1,000 years for man. So whose time are we really on?
Well, that's true.
And then that puts things into perspective, because it could also mean, you know what I'm saying, like 6,000, 7,000 years is only, we're still in the creation week. We're not that far off from it. I don't think, I mean, 4.5 billion years this planet has been existent is total fucking bullshit based on the dating schemes and the crap that they put out. They don't know what those minerals are going to do. Atomic minerals do different things. And one part of one...
Well, the whole idea of carbon dating is bullshit.
Wow.
Look at Mr.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and there's tons of them. There's what looks like blue whales in Cambodia and Laos. In areas like that, they're giant, massive, just rocks. But they have all the features to them. I mean, these things are out there. Like, you have to open your eyes and look. Because it's not what you think it is. You've been programmed to think that that's just a rock. It's just a rock, but how did that get there? Wind and erosion isn't going to cause that to look like a horse. You're not going to, I mean, and you look at some of these things, and a good example is the eyes of the Sphinx, where if you look very closely at the eyes of the Sphinx, it's a different composition material than what's around it. It's not the same. It hasn't weathered the same. It doesn't even look the same as the same sandstone supposedly that was set there in all these blocks and all these bricks, but the head is solid. So say, what if, you know, the outside of the Sphinx was put there purposely to throw you off course? All the blocks that are out there now, all those different things, just kind of like Stonehenge. If that was there to throw you off, why would ancient Egyptians build that with two holes going straight through each side of the ears? Why? Those are questions that I ask from this. I mean, there's a lot of them, but like, it doesn't make sense that you're going to make an entire megalithic statue and you're going to have holes in the ears. Or, I mean, you got a secret chamber in there, or, you know, I mean, are the Egyptologists just saying that there's a secret chamber in there to hide the fact that that might have been a live being at one point?
Well, they do say it was a lion, don't they? Sphinx, they said it was a lion before it was a Sphinx. It's a lot older than everything else. They said it was a lion.
Right.
And they just added, you know, obviously man came along and said, we're having this. And actually mauled with it. Because there's a lot of folklore that I found that say it was a lion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that. And that's and it's been mauled and put, like, the king's face on, and it's been altered heavily. So no one actually would know if it was a giant mud fossil or it was just all man-made, because it's been that wrecked.
Right, but here, like, Brian, if you go back to that main set of pictures, it's this the left row, second one down, and I believe this one was out of Egypt as well. I think it's a slightly smaller version of that Sphinx, but you look at it, and it looks like somebody literally stuck their hand and pushed in the whole face of it. And you don't get that kind of movement out of stone from nothing.
This one?
Yep. Like, the whole face is ripped off, but there's no cut marks. There's no destruction marks. Like, you have all the same metal traces on all over the face of it.
Why, I can't see it.
Oh, hold on. I got to make it so it stays on that, so not when you guys are talking. All right, you can see it now, all right? Hang on. You can see it now, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Now I see Paul's head. There's a resemblance too, Paul.
I know. It's got more hair than me, though.
I don't see it. We don't see it, Brian.
Oh, I don't know why.
There it is.
Yeah, right there.
Oh, he keeps going.
I don't know. Let me try and reset it. Mike, there was a short video you wanted me to play. You want me to play that now? It's a couple-minute video.
Yeah, that video is absolutely astounding, I think. I just give a little backstory on it. So Roger Spur with Mud Fossil University did a whole segment on what I just talked about. I probably should have premised it a little bit more. But there's actually like a 20-minute video where he goes into detail and describes why he believes the Sphinx was a living being, and he gives a lot more detail than I did. But you know, along those lines, there's another video that he's about to show you where there's a Egyptian statue on the ground, and it's almost like you see a cross section of the side of it, and the whole outer shell, so to speak, like where we think they're carved, right? So you have like the outer skin is exposed down the side, and you could see rib bones, you could see the lungs, you could see the kidney. And they're, you know, the guy that took the video is trying to figure out why this is weathered funnily on this side than everywhere else. And I think, you know, and he'll tell you about it in the video, but it's quite spectacular.
All right, cool. So what we're going to do is we're going to play the video. Then we're just going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and open the phone lines. If you guys are cool with that, if anybody wants to call, you down with taking a couple questions, Mike, if anybody calls in.
Sure. Yeah, as long as we don't have that porno situation go down.
No, we'll just take phone calls. I'll not give anybody the hangout link. I'll never make that mistake again.
Yeah, that's all right.
Oh, that was crazy. All right, so what we're going to do, guys, we'll play this video, and we'll be right back, and then we'll go to break. We'll give a little commentary on the video before we go to break, so don't go anywhere. Let me see. Boom.
Yeah, it should be right around like the 4 minutes, yeah. 45 seconds area.
I got it ready already.
All right.
Here we go.
Update, and they're showing, and you'll see it this a little more in a minute, and as they come across here and they show this the same structure that's on my no toes, they start to talk about, you see this looks melted, that's the blood that has come out of there, it flows out. All right, they're going to be going down through this Egyptian here. Now look at the red emanations here. That to me is blood. There's no reason for that to be leaking out. And then we get down to here, bang. There is the no-to foot that he sent me about. He said, look at eight minutes, and there's 8 minutes. And sure enough, he was right. There.
Oops, I don't know what happened. Sorry. I'll restart it, though. Sorry about that.
What a buffering.
Update. There's Sean. And you'll see it this a little more in a minute. And as they come across here and they show this, the same structure that's on my no toes, they start to talk about, you see this looks melted. That's the blood that has come out of there. It flows out. All right. They're going to be going down through this Egyptian here. Now, look at the red.
You guys can see it now?
Here. To me, there's no reason.
It's small.
Here, bang. There is the.
How about
the
now?
Foot that he sent me about. Look at eight minutes, and there's 8 minutes, and sure enough, he was right. There's the gluey spot, and there's the basalty looking limestone stuff, and it's just identical, same thing, identical. Not even there is no difference whatsoever. Now, so I'm looking at that, and I'm thinking, boy, that's interesting. So I'm going a little further. I'm watching. They're thinking, what is all this about? So I'm watching this, and it goes down a little further. They're saying it looks melted and so forth. But as it goes down here a little further, they're going to go out. And, of course, mine break off, too, on the side, just like that. Now they're going down to this Egyptian, and you can see it sure looks like it's a statue. But then they came to here, boom, and I was just blown away. That's the guy's ribs. That is, there's no question. Those are his ribs. Those are his ribs all the way down here. That is his lung. It's the right colors for the ribs, the marrow of the ribs. The red is from the lungs, and the part of the lung picks up stuff that is a different color because it's being transitioned into oxygenated. Then just below that, you have the liver and so forth. And I mean, it's... I don't know what else to say. This is an Egyptian that was petrified. I mean, it doesn't get any clearer than that. There's his ribs. Boom, 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 boom. You can see him coming wrapped around. There's where his lung would be. And there's where his liver is. The same colors and everything. I mean, what can I say? It's what it is and what it is. All right, come on over here and join this group. It's called Mud Fossils Research Group. And
What's that?
Nothing I was saying. I mean, that's kind of where I was at with that one. I think it goes in a, slightly different topics because in what he's talking about is like no toes, where some of them, it looks like he's found like fossilized feet that literally have no traces of toes or anything like that. And that's part of, a couple different theories he has.
I like how in one of his videos he was describing like how the holes that were blown out would be from the arteries and the capillaries were going towards the heart or whatever it was. You know what I'm talking about?
Yep. Yeah, and he shows like a scan of a finger to show you exactly where the arteries go, where the vein is. I mean, and there's, anatomy-wise, there's always two of them. There's a supply and a return, just like anything else. Like you have air conditioning in your house. The air gets sucked in. and then it's got to come out through a different pipe. So, you know, the arteries supply the veins use the blood to extract oxygen, and then it goes back to your heart to get more. I mean, it's kind of simple. But you could see it in a lot of the stuff that he has. I mean, I definitely recommend go checking it out.
Are you in that Facebook group?
Yeah, I get the stuff he sends, and then I've subscribed to him on YouTube as well. I mean, yeah, he's more of not necessarily like flat earther at all. Like, he still believes in space and, you know, things like that. But the work he does with this and just straight up pointing out mud fossils and actually taking the time and the money to go out there and have these things lab tested and things like that, I mean, definitely furthers this truth that we see in front of us.
So why don't we, we're going to take a quick break. Everybody get a drink and whatnot. We'll come back. And when we come back, we'll open the phone lines. We'll take some questions on the topics we talked about, and we'll give some more thoughts on it. And then we're still going to get into the Mandela effect later on. And I've got a boatload of them and some really big ones, man. The last couple of weeks, it's really accelerated again. So everybody, you're listening to Dose of Reality Radio. Brian Stavely, Paul Knight, Gloria Cannata, Mike Guadio. And we'll be back in about 5 or 6 minutes. So just enjoy the music. All right.
Space may be in the final frontier, but it's made in a Hollywood basement. Space may be in the final frontier, but it's made in a Hollywood basement. Space may be in the final frontier, but it's made in a Hollywood basement. Space may be in the final frontier, but it's made in a Hollywood basement.
Have you ever dreamed of going up to outer space? Or maybe meeting other beings from another place? Have you ever wondered what it's like on other planets? Then you watch a science show and come to believe you understand it? You feel empowered by the knowledge and you feel enlightened. Listening to Bill Nye and Neil deGrasse Tyson. But then you wake up and you start to see the obvious. Life is just a lie and this whole world ain't what we thought it was. NASA's missions to the moon were never completed. They just filmed them in a room and people believe it. I used to wonder what it's like to be an astronaut. Now when I see them acting, I can't help but to laugh a lot. They give us cartoons and they claim that we live on a ball, but it's rotten, it's not moving or spinning at all. Why you lying to us, man? That's something that we want to know. After that, you're gonna have to pack up all your stuff and go.
Space may be in the final frontier, but it's made in a Hollywood basement. Space may be in the final frontier, but it's made in a Hollywood basement. Space may be in the final frontier, but it's made in a Hollywood basement. Space may be in the final frontier, but it's made in a Hollywood basement.
History has been rewritten by winners of wars. The Jesuit order, Khazars, Freemasons, and more. They pulled the veil over our eyes, and it's time to awaken. Through organized indoctrination, our minds have been taken. It's time we take our power back and we rescue our people. The Vatican and the bankers are like Resident Evil. They may have had the greatest plan that was ever concocted, but Illuminati never thought that they'd ever be spotted. They're manufacturing reality all in our heads. They tell us if the earth is flat, then we'll fall off the edge. But if it is a spinning ball, we won't fall off it then. And gravity is our imaginary magic friend. Why is water always flat when unmanipulated? Why are pictures of the earth computer generated? Why you lying to us, man? That's something that we want to know. After that, you're gonna have to pack up all your stuff and go.
Space may be in the final frontier, but it's made in a Hollywood basement. Space may be in the final frontier, but it's made in a Hollywood basement. Space may be in the final frontier, but it's made in a Hollywood basement. Space may be in the final frontier, but it's made in a Hollywood basement.
NASA, it's becoming 100% crystal clear that you and the other space programs that are in operation are connected and are deceiving the entire world. More and more people are waking up every single day, and we are now able to see right through you. But what we really want to know is, why are you lying? Sincerely, me and the great people of this earth.
Space may be the final frontier, but it's made in a Hollywood basement.
The captain thinks the world is around, see? But we all know it's a flat, right?
Of course it's flat. Sure, I know the world is flat.
Yeah, so do I.
Everybody knows that.
Aristotle, Copernicus, Newton, Einstein, and the rest. Even Aristophanes was wrong. Now you hear this amazing song.
They don't ever shred us proof, cause the earth is still and just don't move. Horizons at eye level and flat. Stars showed no stellar parallax. Michelson, Morley, Sagan, and Gale. The famous Ceres experiment failed. The earth is the center of the universe. Bury the truth and the things get worse.
NASA nearly takes the lead. Bill, that science guy, shares his creed. Groaning's left to a magic crew. Be sure they're Satan's children too.
Jesuits and Masons rule. They push agenda, make us tools. They use MythBusters on TV to push the evil reality.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Tesla's energy was new, then World War One and World War Two. And what did Appleberg go through? Arctic prison, then on to Antarctica, Nazi troops with the ships and planes and gas canoes. And what did they find? We don't know. Some say German, some say snow. Some say that they reached the wall of a glass dome that's way too tall. But even though many of us are needy, they block us all with the Antarctic Treaty.
Back to Project Paperclip, NASA's Nazi scientists, UFOs in Area 51. Where all the secret tests are done.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They start a Project Fishbowl. They try to make a great big hole in the firmament that's way up high. Planes and bombs, they try and try. False flags, pretend terrorists are actors that just don't exist. And fake cold wars and nuclear woes. TV tells us how it goes.
Duck and cover, take your little pill. NASA's proven exactly nil. No Russia-US space race. Debunkers make too good of a case. How come I can see way past the curve? I mean, way fast. Yeah.
Incoming asteroids, could it be Earth? We'd be destroyed. We'd be destroyed. One big sun flare, that's all she wrote. We'd be destroyed. We'd be destroyed. Clinton and Obama, they just both went on Jimmy Kimmel's late night TV show. We mention secret files and make a note. The flat earth changed, aliens disclosed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now aliens will have to wait. Sphere versus flat debate. The more of us who know the earth isn't round, we'll make this house of cards fall down. Careful what you wish for, friend. The flat earth reveal is not the end. This system, it just has to crash. New world order from the end.
The next step of the evil plan is to make you take the mark in your head or your hand. I know that it's a real low blow. They got the money in your mind, and now they want your soul. Big Bang, random life everywhere, evolution, where's God? Where's God?
Aristotle, Copernicus, Newton, Einstein, and the rest. Even Aristophanes was wrong. Now amazing song.
Folks, love each other.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to Dose of Reality Radio. I'm your host, Brian Stavely. I'm here with Gloria Cannata, Mike Guadio, Paul Knight, and, well, we've been talking about a lot of stuff. Ancient trees, giants. I'm going to open the phone lines right now. Obviously, you guys right there, comment, you know, anything you guys want to say, go ahead. Wow, why is the feed on YouTube look so blurry on my screen? That's weird. Hang on one second. Let me just get reorganized here. Okay. I'm just going to put the phone number in the chat. And if people in the chat, if you guys will just give me one second, I have to open up the another Google Hangout window that has to do with the phone calls so I can take phone calls. And if anybody wants to call in with any questions or comments about anything that we talked about, call right in. Mike, you had texted me something, and I was eating real quick. What were you saying about the guy's stuff in his videos?
I think it's about to be exactly what it is. I think we need to look at certain statues in a different light. And just what are they really? To me, it makes sense. Like, because you could tell the anatomical structure of what's underneath the outside of that statue does not look like solid stone. It doesn't look like, you know, what you would expect to see inside of a hand-carved solid stone statue.
Do you have any particular ones in mind you could point out that look maybe suspicious to you?
Right now, I think a lot of them look suspicious to me. Because if we're lied to about all our history, I mean, who's to say David, Michelangelo's David isn't something like that? And that's speculation, and I'm not saying that that's not possible, but at the same time, I mean, it's one of those things to start questioning what you're seeing a little bit more thoroughly, and let's, you know, really start ripping things apart if what we're told actually holds up. You know, because the Sphinx was supposed to be a statue. Another one. I'm just saying, I mean...
Well, Gloria looked in the Sphinx, right? Because you were a lot into Egypt and stuff.
Yeah.
What do you think about that, that the Sphinx might not be statue,
well,
or a monument, or whatever you want to call it?
You know what? The body of the Sphinx, even with the Mandela effect, has not changed. Although some people say now it has a tail. I remember it that way, so for me it hasn't changed. But the head might be of a giant, but I think the body is definitely constructed by man. But maybe the head, because it's been changed so many times and covered up so many times. You know, because I think at one time it was a dog, then it was a lion, then it was not Nefertiti, maybe Nefertiti, I don't remember, a different goddess. So maybe the head is the giant and the body is a structure created by man, because that body is really not as detailed as the pyramids themselves. It kind of looks like a kid put it together with clay. So maybe that's a possibility. Maybe there was a vengeance against one of the gods and they placed his head on that. I don't know. But that's a possibility. Yeah. And like he said, that the eyes are completely different material, I guess, genetic makeup as the rest of the structure. So that's a possibility. You know, that's how I look at it. So.
Yeah, because the eyes look totally different. I mean, in the cheekbones, you could see layers of porosity in the cheekbones, which doesn't add up to the rest of that. Right. Because if you look at all the other stonework that is done during that time period, that looks like a child put the body on that thing. That's like, I do concrete. That's like me going out and trying to put a brick wall in. It's going to look like dog shit. Like it doesn't go together. And I think some of those other statues, I mean, if that's one's on the ground, who's to say that the you know, however many are next to it aren't the same, you know, I mean, but all these things are protected in antiquity. And you can't touch them. You can't do certain things without permits. And everybody's got to allow you to see these things. They're wholeheartedly going around and scooping up bones, scooping up remains, and putting them away. The Smithsonian's one of the worst for it. It doesn't just happen there. It happens everywhere. They are actively concealing the past from us because they don't want us to know our origins.
They do kind of put it out there. you know, but I don't know why they would be hiding it as much as they are. I mean, because like you said, the book of Enoch talks about the fallen angels. The Bible talks about the giants and the fallen angels. So I don't know why they would want to cover this up. It doesn't make any sense.
Because it takes away their power.
If you think about it, someone says, oh, there's giants, and it's proven giants, what would that start then? Everyone will start believing, well, what else there is? What else has been lying? What else is true?
Yeah, but then our ability and who we really and what we really are, what we're capable of doing too, they're trying to conceal that. So, yeah, that makes a lot of sense, I guess.
I mean, they want it to be all science and no spiritual and religious beliefs. Do you know what I mean? They want it cold and calculated type of thing, taking you away from that, you know, your spiritual self. So if you start talking, I mean, it's even like Scotland. I mean, I didn't even know that, and I don't live too far from it. Like, the national animal for Scotland is a unicorn. I mean, why would you have a supposedly mythical animal as your...
Yeah.
Your national emblem type of thing.
Yeah, well, we know the agenda of these people, like, you know, the mainstream science and media and in conjunction with them and whatnot, is to separate you from anything spiritually. Whatever it is, to make you realize that there's something that they, because they'll try to come up with an equation and a bullshit formula for anything to explain away anything supernatural. Whatever topic you're looking into, it goes across all the topics: flat Earth, Mandela effect, giants, ancient trees. You know what I mean? They just come up with some bullshit, and you're expected to believe it. And they use really big numbers to intimidate you, like 93 million miles or 4.5 billion years, whatever the fuck it is. You know what I mean?
Right. And a lot of the dating around them fossils is just because they're picking and choosing which minerals to date and which one best fits their narrative.
They make a particular argument. They'll date the fossils based on, like, the organisms they'll find in it, and they'll base the organisms based on the fossil. Like,
the layer they found it in. And it goes back full circle. Like, it's a dog chasing its tail. It's just spinning around. It's stupid.
Not science.
No, but we're crazy. We're out of control because we don't partake in that line of bullshit. Because we've come out of that. So I got to be crazy, because I think the giant statue on the ground that you could clearly see has a rib structure and lungs and organs going on that aren't solid stone. But I'm nuts, right? No, that's...
It goes way back, Mike. You're one of those crazy no-planers.
Yeah, dude. No planes. I mean, what else? You know, there's a lot of stuff. But you just have to open your eyes and you have to realize that it's not what they're saying it is. Just because they have a degree, right? They have this degree in something. It's a piece of paper. Like, I got into a conversation with a guy the other day. It's like they're pushing college, college, college. But when you come out, you have no actual skill. None. Yeah. So what happens when that job is no longer in existence and you can't do anything?
The degree doesn't mean shit. That doesn't mean you were ever taught to critically think. That just means you know how to parrot what's given to you by the education system that you're in, which is really just indoctrination. So most of these people aren't going and testing the knowledge, the supposed knowledge that they're given. They're just running with it, and they're acting like they're smart and they know something because they paid for this education. In reality, they're getting paid more. They're paying to get more brainwashed than everybody else who's already brainwashed. There's an extra level of brainwashing. And you remember, like, the calls with Judy Wood, and they tried to throw that doctor stuff in my face, that I didn't call her doctor every time, and I called her Judy, and I was trying to decredentialize her and all this shit. I don't have to fucking call you that every fucking time. You know what I mean? It's just a stupid little narrative that they have to try and fucking make you look stupid. You
know what I mean? It is. You're the best doctor.
Jim Fetz is the PhD, so I'm supposed to back down from these people. It's absolute bullshit.
No, an intelligence should never be measured by the memorization and regurgitation of any information whatsoever. You have to think outside the box. You have to use your brain and critically think about what's going on. Analyze the subject. Analyze whatever topic you have. Start questioning. Whether it's the smallest, stupidest thing you might possibly think it is could turn into some big discovery.
They're not allowed to do that. They graduate and they have to follow the Joneses, and they're not allowed to step out of the
box. Especially in, like, science or medicine. If you go against the mainstream, you're gonna get canned.
Yep,
that's it. You're gonna get removed. You go against even stupid shit like global warming. You can't even speak out against some of this shit.
Yeah. Yep.
No. So, I mean, it's the suppression of information, and it's everywhere with everything, and you see it all over the internet now, where they've gathered up all the information that they can. They have it. It's stored. And now, you know, certain places can't get it. China is one of them.
Yep.
I mean, they're doing it here with certain things. You see it on Facebook all the time. You see it on YouTube. I mean,
why are we doing this show on this backup channel right now? Because they censored me 90 days for bullying and harassment on my 9/11/2012 fucking video, which is just me, Justin, and James, and Chris Kendall talking about the 9/11 hoax. We weren't bullying anybody. You know that. Anybody that's listened to me for a while knows that. So that was just their way to shut down my channel.
No, and they pushed that, though, the bullying and everything else, like the emasculation of the entire population in order to do stuff like that. This is those people don't give a shit if the little kid in school who's overweight is getting picked on by the stronger big guy. They don't care. They want to suppress as much information as they can. And if you say you've been bullied, they're going to go and start messing with other people. And you see it on Facebook all the time. You make a comment against somebody and they report you, and then you get the bullying thing. I've been banned from Facebook for months and months and months at a time, and I'm going to still do what I do.
Yeah, but
not bullying anybody.
When you get 100 dick pics a day and you report them, they do nothing. They continue to send dick pics.
Yeah.
I'll keep quiet on this.
Shut up, Brian. Shut up, James.
James, Paul, how many times have we been doing a show? You call me
James again.
I wasn't even referring to you. I was just talking about people on my Facebook in general.
You call me James again.
I know. How many times have we been doing this?
You call me James. Paul, I always call him James.
There might be an intercontinental threesome going on here.
No.
I don't know why. She's being here on the show.
But Paul, I'm not talking about the dick pics you sent me this morning. I'm saying some people on my Facebook just feel that maybe I wake up in the morning and need to look at their penis, so they constantly send me pictures, and I have to block them.
I got banned for making a GIF of the Lunar Lander taking off in 72 and just calling it out for the bullshit it is. I got taken down for that for a few days. Well, 7 days. Banned 7 days. A week. I got a week for that.
That's nothing. You ain't seen hard time until you did at least a month.
Oh, I've done a month, but I did a week for that Lunar Lander. Yeah, I know. Just a little something light, you know what I mean?
You're not very well liked, Brian, and you're the sweetest person. I don't understand.
People, they just hate me because they hate me. I don't know what you want me to say.
They actually take the time out to make videos of you and call you fuck.
This has been going on for a long time, Gloria. You don't even understand.
Well, when you send me these videos, it just cracks me up. You're so loved. You're so loved.
Well, at least they've recognized you as an actual person now and not like back in the day when you were just simulation.
I know.
I mean, you've graduated up to the male, to, you know, female, the male tranny.
I went from...
Look at you, those soft features and everything else.
Oh, well, apparently I am too, so...
A fucking transsexual sex bot. I'm a transsexual sex slave bot now. Better than a simulation I get, but I'm getting rented out to... I gotta stop that.
But Brian, now me and Paul are too. All three of us are.
Well, did you see the comments on the last video? Somebody said that we all were. We were three trannies talking about trannies in Hollywood.
Yeah, no, I don't think so, honey. Yeah, whoever said it was a moron.
Conor McGregor's a tranny now too.
Oh, you know Brian's not a tranny, but the amount of stuff he sends you.
No, you send them to me, Paul.
Don't blame me for Brian's misgivings.
Your other personality sends them. Here we go. We're back on the dick pics. I don't care about them. Move on.
We're going to mix that up. So any more stuff you guys want to talk about with the Giants and stuff before we get over to the Mandela effect?
No.
I gave a good go at it. If anybody's got any questions or wants to talk about it, I mean, hit me up on Facebook. I'm always around. I want to bounce as many ideas out as possible in order to get, you know, get something really moving.
I wish we were able to, do DNA sampling and stuff like that, all know all these things and, you know, had the money to back it up, you know, that would be really cool. But not in this lifetime. They'll probably kill us.
No, probably not in this lifetime. Yeah. Not in this time is right. All right. So, well, I remember like, you know, well, I don't know. Gloria, when did we first start doing shows? Well, when did I first show up and start doing shows with you guys on Brian McFarland's channel? You know what? I know when it was. It was late June. And can I remember the dating the videos? Yeah, it was late June. And at the time, the shit was fucking going through the roof. And it went through the roof for a while, like as far as the speed of it. Like it was accelerating like crazy all the time. We had some days that were just, you know, 9-10 Mandela effects. And then like a month ago, it seemed to slow down for a few weeks. But last week, not, I mean, 2 weeks ago, we did the show with Nathan. It seemed to have just picked up a little. And this week, I mean, I just seem to notice a ton of them. I mean, I definitely got a few from that top 300 list that I hadn't seen before, which we're going to go through. And you sent me a couple. Other people send me stuff, of course. I'm not trying to say I found all these. I never try and say that. A lot of them, you know, take from other people's videos, whatever it is. But there's a whole bunch of them. And I don't know. One of the ones I really like right away that I wanted to talk about is Gilligan's Island. And I know, Paul, you said you don't really have that over here, over there. But, you know, you're a bloody wanker. And you don't hardly, you never know about this shit. Because you guys have fucking show about drinking tea and eating crumpets and shit. I don't know what you're doing.
And dressing up like women, yeah.
Yeah, dressing up like a woman when he does it. So, Mike.
Yep.
Gilligan's Island. Ever watch it?
Yeah, of course.
You remember the skipper?
Yep.
With the white hat, with the dark brim on it.
Yeah, didn't he have a striped shirt too?
Yeah, I think he did. Well, now the skipper has never had a white hat. Now he has a black hat. And it looks, it's so out of place. I don't know, Gloria, are you familiar with Gilligan's Island at all?
Yeah, of course. He always had a white hat. You know, I always remember the scene when he would take it off and hit Gilligan with it. It was always a white hat. I mean, they had change of clothing because I remember saying as a kid, like, wow, you know, they were supposed to be on the ship for like 3 hours and they have all these change of clothing, you know. But his hat was always white. So yeah, that looks bizarre.
I wasn't like a huge Gilligan fan.
I know.
You know how it is like when you're you know, after school buddies or something. I was real good friends with my buddy, and after school we'd go to his house, and that's what he wanted to watch all the time. And I got stuck watching Gilligan all the time.
You wanted to watch Snow White, right? Is that you wanted to watch Snow White, and he wanted to watch Gilligan's Island?
No, we would watch Snow White later on, late night. Yeah. So you're out of your mind. You really are.
So adorable. Go ahead.
No, so. How about I'll just go right to the next one, all right? This is a big one. I wish the real James was actually here because he was a big fan of this movie. not the fake James over there coming live from UK. What's up, fake James?
I know, how many shows have we done and she keeps calling me James?
I don't know why, bro.
I think she's done like one show with James.
Just one show. No, two shows. I don't know why I call him James. But Brian, when I first met you, I called you Steven.
I know, but like you've only done shows with Paul's pretty much, except for one with James. But speaking of James, let's all call out James. Like, where are you, James? He's always on the fence if he's coming on or not. And 9 times out of 10, he doesn't come on now. Like, what's going on, James? We're calling you out, bro. Sorry. Was going to start questioning your manhood. That's all I'm saying.
He might be undergoing one of them operations.
Oh, yeah, because, yeah, he and has to be. I mean,
hormone therapy and all that other stuff takes time.
Well, I was asking people what the rule was for view counts, because, like, if this channel gets too big, you know, whatever that number might be, does that mean Gloria has to be a man that's, you know, she's a tranny? And, like, how does this all work? You know what I'm saying? Because I don't know. Mike doesn't even know what to say. The dumbest shit of all time. Mike Tyson and Conor McGregor and fucking Michael Jordan and Wayne Gretzky and The Rock and Arnold Schwarzenegger. Arnold Schwarzenegger's the woman, I was told.
It can't be all of them, though. That can't be. Dude,
I know, Mike Tyson, that's my point.
Like, drops people, man. Like, you hear some of the stories, it's like that dude's they stop because he hits them so hard it shakes their soul. And I mean, come on,
dude. Like, I would still want proof, but if you want to tell me, like, Serena Williams, okay, well, that would make sense if it's a man and it's doing a woman's sport, but you're going to tell me a woman is playing a man to play a man's sport and dominate it, and it's professional men's heavyweight boxing, and she's just dropping everybody, dude.
Right, so like, does that mean the other ones? You know what I'm saying? Because it seems sometimes it's equally matched. So like, does that mean the opponent is as well a transsexual? Like, where there's some holes in there that are like, I'm not disagreeing like with the premise. Like, definitely, whether it's chemical castration or however they do it, you know, you could see it might be possible. But you know what I mean? Well, that's more or less in utero than it is in actual. Life, like they would genetically change somebody while they were still developing, but at the same time, like, I mean, I just, there's holes, like, so everybody that is transsexual in Hollywood adopts all their kids. Like, how do they all look the same? Are they cloned? Are they made in laboratories to fit with the rest of it? Like, I mean, I want some answers to that in general. Like, if there's somebody more versed in it, but hit me up and let me know what you think on some of the stuff I just said, because there's some holes. Like, there really is. I mean, you can't say 100% because there's holes in everything, but those are, to me, are bigger holes.
I was told Jessica Alba was one because she doesn't have an hourglass figure. Oh, every woman has to have an hourglass figure now, or they're a man. I mean, it's pretty.
You look at some of those female bodybuilders, dude, and they don't have an hourglass figure. They're built like a brick shithouse. They're huge on top. Their legs are huge. Their waist, it goes straight down because of the way your back muscles work. Like, so, you know,
we would have known about that and seen some firsthand accounts if Gloria would ever post that fucking picture she claims to have.
Oh, no, she's still not posting pictures of her bodybuilding. She might have a little pouch like that.
I hate you both. I was a bodybuilder, believe it or not believe it. My boobs are real. I gave birth. I have a 23-year-old son.
Well, we have to say the bodybuilding pics.
Bring it up, her boobs. Nobody asked about your boobs. Go ahead.
I know she's bringing the boobs up again.
See, go away, Paul.
Go away. James.
Yeah, no, James. Don't do that. It's in my head. Paul James, go away.
Ringo.
Go sit down, you fucking Kiwi.
You, Paul, you're a woman. Everybody knows that, Paul. Everybody knows that. Just because you shake your head, bull crap.
No, but there's definitely some of them out there that you could tell. You can't tell at all. Like, you can't really tell the difference at a cursory glance. Whether it's a man.
It's not 100%, though. It's not 100%. The idea that it's 100% is ridiculous.
No, come on, look at the difference between Jessica Alba and Bruce.
Bruce Jenner?
Caitlin?
I mean, come on, really? That guy is, oh gosh. Guy, she's gross.
Oh, Paul would roll around on the floor with Bruce any day of the week.
Have you noticed he always brings me into it when he's doing his fantasies?
Oh, my God.
All right, I mean, no.
I'll not mention who he sends pics of his dad singing to and anything like this, or pictures of his dog's penis to me. We'll not mention that on air.
That was his dog penis.
Well, I mentioned it on air, but you just mentioned it on air.
And that was just like an old lipstick container.
Nasty. Hey, so you guys all have seen the movie Home Alone, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Who's the actor and that plays the kid? Everybody knows this. Who is he?
Yeah, well, we did it. Macaulay, yeah.
Mike, you know who it is, right?
Yep.
Macaulay Culkin?
Yeah.
Spell his last name.
Don't ask me, I'm dyslexic, so I don't even say no, he's right.
So it'd be like C-U-L-C-K-I-N? C-U-L-C-K-I-N? I mean, that's off the top of my head. I have no clue.
No, it used to be C-A-U-L-K-I-N. Now it's C-A-L-K-I-N.
That doesn't even sound right.
No, it's ridiculous. Like,
the pronunciation doesn't even sound right.
No, it's totally ridiculous. You guys all know about you guys all know who Anne Frank is, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is a big one for me, Gloria. You think this is a big one? I like this one.
I don't see anything. Show me it.
Anne Frank. See? Talked about it earlier.
You just need to see it again.
That one right over his head. That one right over his head.
Hello?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. The Anne Frank one.
Yeah. So what's Anne Frank famous for? Most famous for?
The story of Anne Frank.
That's... Yeah. What's it called? What's it called, guys? You know?
The diary.
The diary of Anne Frank.
Yeah, diary.
Diary of Anne Frank, right?
Yep.
Well, no, not anymore. That's never been the reality here. It's called Anne Frank, The Diary of a Young Girl.
Mm.
That's the title all over all the books dating back decades and decades. They've all changed to Anne Frank. It says Anne Frank on it, whether it's at the top or the bottom. And the title in the middle says The Diary of a Young Girl.
Yeah.
I want to show some screen grabs of it real quick. Hang on. I got them right here. This is crazy. Because this is a huge book. Like, everybody, you know, whether you paid attention to school or not, you all learned about this in school, I would think, you know? I know I did. Mike, probably the same, right?
Yeah. I mean, you learn about it in school, especially when they get into, like, World War II and stuff like that. It's there.
Oh, yeah. We're going to get into World War II right after this, too. You know, besides this, obviously. If my pictures ever fucking load up because my computer sucks. It takes a long time when I do a screen grab and try to show the pictures. Look it. I'll make it bigger, but I'm going to show you more, too. The Diary of a Young Girl.
Mm-mm. No way.
Isn't that crazy? Look it.
Wow. That was a big one, just like Dorian, the Portrait of Dorian Gray.
This was definitely... The Diary of Anne Frank.
Of course. Yeah.
There's not even a doubt in my mind, dude. Definitely The Diary of Anne Frank. It's crazy. Another new one. Here's one I like to get it. Sometimes I like to talk about the technology ones. And Mike, did you hear the show when we talked about the remote controls and there were wireless remote controls for televisions now? Going back to 1955.
Oh, fuck all that. The one I had at home looked like a keyboard and it was attached to the thing. We used to swing it around at each other and throw it across the room.
Yeah, it had a cable. Until the early 80s, at least.
Yeah. I mean, dude, like I had two younger brothers when I was growing up. We all lived together. And we used to literally fight each other with that. It was like a box, a big box, and you press down and that was it. Like, bink. And then you go to 2 and the 3, and it only went up to like 18, 19.
Yeah, well, now it's been around since 1955. Magnavox has a wireless remote for a TV. And we've talked about that before. But you know how there's this new, maybe not brand new, but pretty new. It's in the news a lot. The self-driving Uber cars and all this. The cars that you don't need to drive.
Yep.
Okay, and when do you think the first one was out there? What year?
Well, by the tone of your voice, whatever I say isn't going to be correct. But, I mean, it had to be, like, somewhat recently, you know what I'm saying? It's not – self-driving cars in the 1800s doesn't even make sense.
Paul said the same thing the way I asked him.
Yeah, but then again, I mean, you know, they're talking about electric cars, been around since the late 1800s.
That's right.
Doesn't even make sense. How does that
electric
possible?
Electric cars did, because Tesla designed one, an electric car.
And you could see pictures. You could see pictures of them plugging in, sitting in their cars, waiting for their cars to charge up. Ridiculous.
Hey, the first self-driving car, no driver needed. There's no steering wheel. 1968.
Oh no!
So what are we doing manually driving vehicles still? What are we doing? How is this even? Why hasn't technology taken over?
Wow. Why are men still going bald? Why isn't there anything for male fat and baldness?
See, she's having a go at me again.
I'm sorry, Paul.
I'm going to play a little song. We're going to have a little fun here. I'll probably get hit for copyright on this, but whatever. We'll deal with that after. So you guys know the song from the Three Little Pigs. I mean, not the Three Little Pigs. That's another one we're going to get into. You know the song from Snow White. Hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to work we go. You know the song?
Yep.
Now yep. it's never said, it's off to work we go. Now it's home from work we come. Hi ho, hi ho, it's home from work we come.
It doesn't even rhyme.
Dude, Mike, I'm not even kidding. And I'm going to play the clip that's actually in Snow White itself. Not even, and there are other versions you can get it, whatever. This isn't even like secondhand. It's like right out of the movie. And it's been changed. It's been Mandela affected.
No, my mother-in-law collects Disney movies, dude. And she's got that crap on VHS. So I'm going to go play it. We're going to check this one out.
Oh, yeah. This one's crazy. Let me bring it up right here. 1 second. All right, here we go. Ready? Listen to what they say. They never once even say it's off to work we go. I used to sing this all the time as a kid.
Hi ho, hi ho, it's home from work we go.
Home from work we go. I said home from work we come. I said it wrong.
Hi ho, hi ho, it's home from work we go. Hi ho, hi ho.
Home from work we go. What the fuck?
Doesn't sound right at all.
I hope.
No.
I hope. I hope. I hope. I hope. It's home from work we go. I hope.
Isn't that crazy?
It is.
Gloria, what are your thoughts on that?
No, that is crazy. Doesn't even make sense, but it's crazy. That's a new one, though, Brian. That's a fairly new one.
Yeah. Hi-ho. I haven't heard anybody else talk about it yet. Hi-ho. Hi-ho. It's off to work we go is what I always knew it as. And it's not like I couldn't understand the words home from go we go, if that's what it was, home from work we go. That's not what they said, though. You know?
But is there a point in the movie where they're actually going to work and singing that song?
I don't know. I'd have to rewatch the whole movie.
You know
but
what I mean?
As far as I know, there's not. I couldn't find any version of it out there. Because you would think if there was and they sang it the other way too, especially where it's more popular, there'd be uploads of that to YouTube too, because there's all uploads of this, all different versions. But there is no upload of it that I could find that says the original lyrics. So I don't think it's in there at all, bro.
That's crazy.
Yep. How about I have like 15 more, but I got a good one. I get a really good one. This is a big one. I should have brought this up first. So, Mike, you've been around since back in the day. When I say back in the day, I mean 2010, 2011, you know. So when Sandy Hook happened, you remember Robbie Parker and the whole fucking bullshit, you know. Yeah. You remember how much of a joke it was. He's out there. He's laughing on camera after his daughter supposedly just got surprisingly murdered and gunned down at a school with 26 other kids or whatever the number was. Totally ridiculous. One of the most obvious things ever, along with the Apollo Moon hoax, Sandy Hook, right? So, and you remember everything about Emily. His daughter was Emily. She had the black and red dress. She appeared later in pictures with Obama. She's supposed to be dead. You remember the whole thing about Emily, right?
Yep.
Now Emily Parker, Emily, never existed. Now, we can say she never existed because the story is bullshit, of course, but I'm saying even in the story, official narratives, go back in time and look at it, whatever. Now it's Emily with an I-E at the end. E-M-I-L-I-E. Bro, I'm going to say something. People say, oh, well, that can be that way. And like I explained to people before, yeah, people can spell your name any way they want. But I personally have never seen anybody spelled Emily with an I-E. It's just like the Johnny Walker. You know Johnny Walker whiskey?
Mm-hmm.
That's not Johnny with a Y now. That's Johnny with an I-E. That's changed. I-E. And it's very strange because – it's not like, oh, we would just assume it's an IE, NIE. Like, if it's an IE, we would notice that. It would stand out. Like, if her name was Emily Parker with an IE, it would stand out to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, go ahead.
It's like the JFK with the six-seater. If his car really had six seats with two windshields and a president got assassinated in it, we would remember the car with two windshields because it's so odd. Now, this isn't on that level, but this was a big event, and her name wasn't Emily with an IE.
No, and as much as we looked into that, I mean, it jumps out at you. Like, yeah. It's not like, because that was one of the main characters in that story.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
No, it is. But that's like the Berenstain Bears residue where it has both spellings on the tag.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could still find residue for something. Some things you can't.
Oh, yeah, some things you can. Some things you just know. I have like several more, but Gloria, do you have any you want to do? We'll mix it up a little.
Well, I have like one or two.
What do you got?
Okay. Christmas song, right? I want everybody to fill in the blanks, the blank.
Do you need me to sing it?
Do you want to sing it?
I'll sing it. Okay. Since you insist. I'll be home for Christmas. You can blank on me. That was good, right?
Yeah. Come on, guys, fill it in. What is it?
No, I'll not sing. I can't even remember nothing.
Count?
Oh, somebody wants to call in. Hold on. I'm going to give
it. Mike said count. You know what it is now? I'll be home for Christmas. You can plan on me.
And I said it was count as soon as you asked me to.
What the hell does that mean? You could plan on me.
Well, get the tent ready in the backyard because I'm coming to stay.
People in the chat say count.
No, not anymore. You can plan on me. Count. Salted Cedar said count. Yep. A couple of the Christmas songs have changed, but this one is a new one.
Which other ones?
Deck the Halls.
Oh, what changed in Deck the Halls? I forget.
It's Deck the Hall.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. That is crazy. It's not Deck the Halls anymore. It's Deck the Hall. Deck the Hall. Boughs of Hall. Oh, my God, dude.
They have a hall. They're going to deck the hall.
Yeah, like a lot of Christmas stuff changed. The Grinch Who Stole Christmas never existed now, and now it's How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
What's that other song, Brian, we were talking about the other day? On the first day of Christmas, my true love sent to me.
12 Days of Christmas?
Yeah, now it's on the first day of Christmas, my true love what? Gave to me.
No, it went from gave to me to sent to me.
Oh, one of them.
There's that 12 again.
Oh, no.
What else you got?
All right, hang on. All right, so there's some ones that I got that I wanted to go over because other people miss them, and I've noticed even with some people that are really well versed in it, there's always ones we all miss because honestly, there's so many, it's impossible for anybody to keep up with all of them. Mm-hmm. You know, one that's big for me is the movie The Poltergeist. And this is definitely an older one. This is like 2 years old, this Mandela, but a lot of people missed it. And Mike, I'm assuming you've seen most of the same stuff I have. I'm assuming you've seen The Poltergeist as a kid plenty of times, right?
Nah, I really was never been into movies like that.
Oh, all right. Well, I'll explain it to everybody. The whole reason the Poltergeist house was so haunted is because it was built on an Indian burial ground. And there's tons of residue of this, people talking about this and doing parodies of it, and it's always because it's on an Indian burial ground. Now yeah, it's never on it. What do you say, Paul?
Yeah, definitely on the burial ground, Poltergeist.
Yeah, Indian burial ground, right?
Yep.
Yeah, and now that's never been the case. Now it's just, it was built on a cemetery, but just a regular cemetery. And, you know, your cemetery is another Mandela for me, the way it's spelled. It's fucking ridiculous. It's ridiculous. We talked earlier about patterns, like the Johnny Walker and Emily Parker, and there's been other names that have changed to the IE. We know, you know, about S's dropping, stuff like that. We know about the A's upside down. There's a really weird one with Terminator 2 that I'm going to show everybody. Terminator 2, probably my maybe second or third favorite movie of all time. So really nasty movie. Mike, I'm assuming you've seen Terminator 2.
Yeah.
Paul?
Yeah.
Gloria?
Nope.
Oh, fuck you.
Oh, fuck you.
Yeah, so, save that for later. Now, come on.
In Terminator 2, I want to play this little intro to it. It's 2 minutes long. I want you to notice the lettering. On all the A's, they're now slanted 45 degrees. In the actors' credits, the names, and even in the title screen. And on the title screen itself, like the A in Terminator is slanted one way, and in Judgment Day, it's slanted another. On a lot of them, you'll see them slanted left, 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 or right, right, right. But there's a couple people's name that have an A slanted left and an A slanted right. And it's the craziest thing. And it's so out of place, dude. And I know this wasn't there before. I'm going to show you guys this. This is crazy. So you'll stop by looking at Arnold's name and look at the A. And you'll say, all right, maybe just that's the first letter. That's not really that weird. But then as it goes on, you're going to notice it like really stand out. It's really crazy. This was not part of the movie before. I know this wasn't in there. You guys see how the A's are tilted?
Yeah, it doesn't even look right.
Yeah, now watch. It gets even more pronounced when you see it go in different directions and shit. Look at the A in Terminator 2. Look at the A in Linda Hamilton. It's going the other way, both of them. Robert Patrick going the other way, going to the right.
Wow.
Okay, there's more. There's names that have it both ways, too. Earl going to the right. Empatha going to the right.
You see, the G's look funny to me.
I didn't notice yet. I just saw this like the other day. I'll check it out.
On the end?
I'll try and pause it. Next G comes up.
Because I remember it being more square in it.
Just look at how odd that is. It's just out of place. Look at the A.
Wow.
Why would one letter be italic like that to the extreme too, like 45 degrees? And it's in the title screen too. It's not like you just, it's just in the credits and like, it's really fucking strange.
See, gold black, the G looks funny.
Hello. Oh, yeah, it does. Ah, it looks, that's crazy, huh?
Like, because I thought, I mean, I remember him being more
square.
Yeah.
Boxy.
It's like, yeah. It's like a bubble. It's like a bubbly look.
Yeah, like it just swoops in like, you know, the Staples emblem.
Did you see the A after the G? It's the other way. It's slanted left, and this one's slanted right. See it?
Yeah, then all three on the bottom roll to the same way.
Ryan, that's a good find, dude. You're like the only person who looks at the credits.
There's 20 seconds left. Does anybody in the chat remember this? No, I'm sure. Look at the A in Austin. That's just crazy. That K looked really odd.
When did this movie come out? What year did this come out?
91.
Yeah, see, I would think that those are like we would use lettering like that today, kind of like slang, but back then, no.
Yeah, but not that one A going by itself, you know?
Either that or you have the A's now that look like pyramids. They're just.
Yeah, that's the
line in the middle. Yeah.
No line in the middle, it's just an upside down triangle. We see that all the time now. It's crazy. And that's a big, that, you know, people say little things. That's, you know, that's a big movie, dude. That's like one of the biggest movies of all time. Just along with everything else, Wizard of Oz, Star Wars. It's not little shit. Speaking of Wizard of Oz, I want to play a little scene real quick. You guys all remember the scene at the end when, you know, he's behind the curtain and he gets exposed and he says over the speaker, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
Yeah.
Now it's never said that. Now it says pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. That is not what he said. I'm sure of that. Like, I've seen these movies so many times. I know it's cheesy and whatnot. And I was a kid, you know. I've seen The Wizard of Oz so many times. Iconic line, just like "Fly, my pretties, fly." From, you know what I mean? And she doesn't say that now. It's crazy. She just says "fly, fly, fly." Like, yeah. We don't know. Listen to this.
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
That man. It was this man.
That I wouldn't be able, I wouldn't know.
Yeah, it was this man. It's crazy to me. Absolutely crazy.
The "fly, my pretty fly," that's crazy. That I remember. Not "fly, fly, fly." "Fly, my pretties."
Yeah, and Terminator 2 had another one already. Not even their own fault. It's not going to be their fault, but it's not even just them. The entire word "judgment" lost the E after the G.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be T2 Judgment Day. I clearly remember the cover. I remember the movie so well. I have it, the movie, you know. Judgment, just like the two words, judge, you know, J-U-D-G-E-M-E-N-T. And now it's never had that first E. That's a crazy one to me. It looks so stupid.
Well, a lot of the spellings are off right now.
Crazy. Alaskan Airlines is another one people don't know about. Alaskan Airlines never existed now. It's Alaska Airlines.
Oh, wow.
Julia Childs. I used to watch her with my mother when I was little. She was a chef on TV. Now she's never been Julia Childs. She's Julia Child. She lost the S, just like Christopher Reeve, Sally Fields, all these other people.
Isn't that so bizarre, like with the S's? That's so weird.
It's weird. And then it's just so crazy how people like are part of these things or live in these places that changed or moved and nobody realizes it. It's fucking insane. Mike, wasn't I know you're a gamer somewhat, at least still. Wasn't there one of the Grand Theft Auto games set in San Bernardino?
San Andreas?
No, San Andreas. I know it was San Andreas, but I thought there was one in San Bernardino, but maybe not. But San Bernardino was the site of one of them hoax shootings not too long ago, right?
Yeah.
Spell Bernardino.
B-E-R-N. I mean, dude, like, I'm too reliant on spell check on my phone. I can't even do it.
For me, it was B-E-R-N-A-D-I-N-O. Bernardino. Now it's Bernardino. There's an R before the D. San Bernardino. And that's just fucking really weird to me. Really weird. And then another big one for me is the Three Little Pigs. The pie, the wolf, the big bad wolf. I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house down. Do you guys remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Paul, how are you?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
Well, that's not what he said. So you guys are fucking retarded.
<There's> no... I've been called worse.
No, just kidding, because I'm fucking retarded too. No, so our reality has changed again. Anybody's like, what is this guy talking about? No, so that's what it said. We all know it said that, but now it's never said that. Now it said, I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house in.
Down.
It's so ridiculous. So ridiculous.
You know which one still bothers me, right, Brian? The two of them that still bothers me. Number one, The Matrix. I'm sorry. That Matrix movie's still getting to me after this time. Because there's no more, it's not binary digits anymore, Mike. You know, in the beginning you would see the binary digits and
No, yeah, I've never remembered it with binary digits, though.
Oh, my God. Don't even go there with me. That's such a big one. That one and the movie with, what's his name, Nicolas Cage, The Knowing.
Okay.
Yeah, it's now just Knowing. It's not The Knowing. It's Knowing.
Is that the one with Jessica Biel?
I don't know. I just know Nicolas Cage. I don't know the woman's name. But, yeah, now it's Knowing instead of The Knowing. That one's a crazy one.
So, Mike, you've been looking at the Mandela effect for a long time. Obviously, we brought that up before, just as long as I've been looking at it. we've all given our opinions on this show many times, and it's all speculation. But what do you think is causing it, in your opinion?
I mean, I go back and forth with that. Like, it's a rift somewhere. I mean, something is constantly changing it. I mean, whether it's, you know, like, parallel or, you know, another, like, pull from a dimension. I mean, I honestly can't really say because it's, for me, there's not much to explain it with. And unless the simulation is really messed up, or if, you know,
glitching out.
Yeah, like the fabric, like that ether could be, you know, changing vibration or changing pulse, right, and changing things. And because you up on.
Oh, he froze.
Mike, you froze.
You know, there were a little bear family lived in a tree. Oh, that's the Berenstain Bears. And then come to find out, every book I have in my closet is changed to stain. And you look at it, and it's like, hey, this is not even close. Like, but at a certain degree, like all of a sudden, in my head when it happened, it was like a little click, and I could see both of them. And then, yeah, it was crazy, man. And that's, you know, I looked into the Mandela for a couple months after that, and there I was just like, nope, this is really messing with my head. I got to back off a little bit.
Yeah, well, when we first started looking at it, I mean, there wasn't really much of residue at all. It was like 2014, the end of 2014, you know, there was really, I mean, there wasn't much for Flat Earth or Mandela at the time, but you know what I mean?
No, there wasn't. And that was like the same thing with like No Forest on Flat Earth. Like, we watched that video, and there wasn't anything to go along with it after that.
Yeah.
Nobody else was looking into it. So, but it was that, like, interview with a vampire, you know, Sex in the City, like, all those were just like, holy, well, how does this even go down? Like, all of a sudden, all the logos change. You're looking at stuff. I go into Home Depot every day. 6 o'clock in the morning, I'm at Home Depot getting materials. And it's never been the Home Depot.
Yeah. It's crazy. What do you think about, maybe it's possible that it's obviously somehow tied into our collective consciousness, and it's hard to quantify exactly how, like you said, is it multiple, this, parallel, that? I mean, we don't really know. What do you think about some of the obvious changes being done by the creator, maybe to let us know that the creator is still there because for whatever reason, he, she, it can't contact us directly?
Yeah, see, but you know what I mean? Like, I don't know, because, like, I don't know. I mean, maybe it's possible, because if you think about video games, right? Like, you're sitting there playing a video game. You can never directly contact the characters in that video game. You're not in the game. You know what I mean? So it's definitely possible.
I definitely don't believe in the multiverse and parallel universes and stuff like that. I don't believe that. I'm sorry. And I have my own reasons why I don't believe that. But I do think that there is some kind of glitch in the frequency, the vibration where we experience this reality. Something's happening. Something's changing. Something's glitching. Whether it's the creator trying to show us, you know, that this is just an illusion or to wake up, that's really what I think it is.
Somebody in the chat really just said, if the earth is flat, how come I can't see Hawaii with my telescope from my 11-story apartment overlooking the ocean? I don't know, bro. Are you in Hawaii, or are you like just, you know, at the ocean somewhere? Like, how far do you think you can see? Are you Christopher Reeves, the real Superman? Seriously, fucking give me a break. I'm going to keep addressing them. So, Mike, can I ask something about the Giants again, your opinion on something?
Yeah, go ahead.
Let's get back to the Giants. We'll go back a little bit if we can. So along with the flat earth, we talk about a lot of theories that have to do with Antarctica. A couple of the most popular ones are, and I don't think too many people that I know think, I don't know, a lot of opinions are it's an edge or a barrier where the firmament comes down or it keeps expanding. There's more land. Maybe there's a barrier somewhere. Maybe it goes on forever. Those are probably some of the most biggest popular theories about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's your idea that and this ties into Paul's theory too about maybe the sun not being the main source of the heat, because there is sun in Antarctica, but everything doesn't seem to melt. what's your thought that maybe some of the giants or whatever are from over there, past wherever we're allowed to access? They could also have their own electromagnetic sun or whatever type of system is going on and be at their own frequency. And I mean, Gloria talked about this a little bit. What's your idea about that? And we're kind of just trapped in this inner thing. There's many motives, but one of the reasons we're trapped in this kind of circle in the northern hemisphere, very few in the southern hemisphere, and then none farther out, is to keep us from that exposure to that knowledge.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. I think we talked about it before where, you know, I mean, for a lot of these things, like, you have to have a lot of land in order to house giants. Like, I don't think many people actually realize that. Like, you're talking 2.5-3 miles tall. Like, the average person's one step for them being 5 foot tall, 6 foot tall is roughly 3 feet. So, I mean, you know, America, they could probably clear that in a couple hours jog. I mean, it's not that big of a deal. So, like, that was one of the things. And I've heard other people talk about it too, but you know, I mean, yeah, there was definitely more land and there was definitely a lot less water. And that was just, you know, you get to the edge. I mean, I think that was the barrier to keep man in from going inside this realm, into another one, where there's definitely more land and more continents and things like that.
I definitely think so. I know Paul. I don't want to speak for Paul, but Paul, I mean, you think there's more land, more continents, so whatever.
I've looked into the more continents, and if you're looking into it and you count the one picture we really got, which is that the old Chinese one, 5,000 years old, there's 33 continents, there's 33 islands.
Yeah, I know. It's the Buddhist map.
Yeah, but there's actual 33 islands.
Yeah.
Tying in with the Masonic 33. And also, and then you got to talk about as well is the 33rd parallel. Is that the entrance to come out? See, on that 33rd parallel, where it goes across, it's a lot of weird things happen on this 33rd parallel. There's just a lot of things it could be. I mean, you have to look at it, this ice and all that. Sometimes it was a different, you know, different eyes type of thing. When I got into flat earth, I thought it was, I don't know if you've heard of a thing in science called spin ice, where ice can become magnetic, you know, due to the polarization when it's turning. So my first theory was that how we get power on earth, because it only has to move fractionally slow. You can't even see it, but the amount of ice that would, the power that would generate electromagnetic power is through the roof. No pun intended, but
yeah, well, pun intended though.
But the roof. Do you know what I mean? Because I looked into the spin ice, and that's amazing. Not many people look into that. That's an interesting.
We've talked about that. We specifically talked about maybe the firmament spinning and the magnetic center and Polaris and all that creating energy, and that's kind of what runs the earth.
And then you look at the thing as well, is like the four corners. Some maps, there is four corners. I've found where the four corners are, there was four giants located. Are they the guardians of these entrances to this other land? You just don't know. What's that, Mike?
Talking about the ice, like, do you think that the ice is natural? Like, that is, it would be from, like, the oceans around it?
I mean, if it's thought about whatever it was, it seems like two. Perfect, doesn't it?
Right, like that, and the fact that there's like way too much like carbon dioxide.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? When you see like all the science fiction films, you see all the dry ice and the cryogenics, and it lets off. You know, it just seems too perfect. Right. Do you know what I mean? Like it's been set and covered. It's there for a reason. Is it to keep us in, or is it to keep them out? Are we in a like a zoo? Are we the animals, and there's people outside controlling this type of thing, you know what I mean?
No, I do, because there was a video I watched where, and that's why I said I'm fuzzy on some of the details, because you watch some of these guys and they tell you and trying to find some of this stuff. But, you know, it was put out there. I think it was Age of Disclosure was the channel I watched, where he was saying that, you know, the flat earth was created as a prison for the Titans And then a couple other things happened in the mix, and then humans were here. And it was almost like a description of the devil creating humanity instead of God. So it was, at that point, I mean, I got a little bit more skeptical and I wanted to find out more. But that was one of the things that was bouncing around when I was looking, beginning looking into the giants, was that this was kind of like a zoo. You can't leave. I mean, you can't leave. Like, it's logical to think if you believe in the firmament, you can't go anywhere. What else is it?
Yeah, well, that's what me and Brian have thought about, is if the poisoning us, which we know they are, it's like a slow death type thing, is they would have to be immune, or they had somewhere else to go. You'd have to be beyond crazy to do this to yourself and you staying here. Do you know what I mean?
No, I do, because I mean, look at what oxygen does to metal. It rusts steel. What is it doing to our lungs? Maybe this is why we live so short. I mean, you know, like, if you look in ancient texts, I mean, there's people living 300, 400, 1,000 years.
Yeah, but they shortened our lives, supposedly, the giants or whoever their god, whoever the god of the Bible is, they shortened our lifespan, I think, to 120 years or something like that, where we used to live for thousands. You look at the king list, and you had kings that were there for 250,000 years.
And the Sumerians.
Right. Yeah, they were huge beings.
But then they said that, I guess, because we knew too much and because of what they did, they were going to dumb us down and shorten our lifespan, change our language and, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah, break it up and split everybody apart.
Right.
And put the barriers in. See, and that's kind of like the part where it's hard to know if that was something that was added to the Bible to reinforce the narrative of control by the governing bodies of that main religion at that time. You know what I mean? Because it is like skeptical, because I mean, even when you look at the Bible, like the Old Testament versus the New Testament, I mean, it looks like it's written by completely different authors. There's no continuity to it. Like, even just the writing styles and everything else, if this is the word of God, it should be pretty clear and present throughout everything.
So what do you mean? Like, you're saying it was changed so they could program us to think that the body gets ill and dies and stuff like that, and we believe it, and
right, because yeah, placebo effect.
Right. I believe that.
I mean,
if there's no such thing as time, I mean, you could say that this construct does have time. I don't know. But if there's no such thing as time, then why would we age? If our cells and our bodies renew itself, we have a whole new body, what is it, every 10 years, then why would we age? None of this makes sense.
No, well, that and sleep doesn't make sense. Literally. Right. Like, we go to sleep because our bodies need to recharge. I mean, it's like, you know, it's like Wally, the Disney movie, Wally, where he goes outside and he sticks his things out and he recharges again. Like, that would mean that we're less biological and more mechanical than what we're led to believe.
This keep is restricted. That's what it is for a plan. Do you know what I mean? That's like what I was saying before about night and day.
It's slowing down.
Yeah, slow us down. They don't want people
real productive if we're not sleeping.
It's not to get you exploring. It's like I said, like, we know, like, salt water you can use for electromagnetism and all that kind of thing. But it's also, is if you think about it, you going out in a boat, you can't drink it, and it's near enough, all of it's salt water.
No,
basically, it's to keep you all where they want you.
Right. There's a lot of interesting experiments into sleep deprivation and shit like that too. Because we don't need to eat the way we do or sleep the way we do. You can train your body to do so little of both, really.
Well, yeah, they say that we need 6 to 8 hours a night sleep, and actually we really don't. We need two, and then we can get up and eat and do some activities. And
there's people that just drink water and eat a piece of fruit every couple of days, and they're fine.
You could do 2-3 hours, then throughout the day just take like an hour cat nap here and there. And we'd be fine. And that's another thing, Brian, with the Mandela effect. A lot of people notice that, you know, we're not sleeping as much as we used to. And we're wide awake after 3 hours. We're good to go. But our brains are so programmed to go, oh, my God, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. Why am I up? Even though I'm not tired, let me just force myself to go back to bed till 7 or 8. You know? So I think our bodies are changing that way, too.
And another way to keep you messed about is it's like, we call it different, but I'll try and speak how you, is it daylight savings? We just call it, well, it's going back and forwards.
It used to be, now it's daylight saving.
I mean, that's another way to keep you, your circadian rhythm messed up. Because everyone's set patterns, anything gets changed. There's no need for it to be doing this, you know what I mean? If it's not to mess about, mess you about.
No,
but it makes you wonder about like how highways are constructed and a lot of other things that piss you off during the day while you're driving stuck in traffic. If that's not just a construct to keep the negative energy flowing, I've often thought about that.
Wait, elaborate. What do you mean?
What I mean, like, so the highways were designed, you know what I mean, back in the day, and now even still with all the research and the traffic technologies and flows and how it's a entirely complete system all in itself. I mean, with command centers and control centers that operate lights in metropolis areas to keep algorithms for traffic to flow efficiently. I mean, all they have to do is press a button and fuck everybody's day. And now you have a blast of negative energy that could be channeled.
That's very true. That's funny that you said that. Now I'm going to think about that the next time I'm on a highway.
If you think about it, everything's done for a reason. To like you say, money, whatever. There's loads of things that you can do. I mean, me looking into crystals and the effect it has on us, like in your third eye, it's called piezoelectric, and it's just when if you're rubbing crystals together, they create a force, and it's electric, and it creates a current. There's in some places you have roads now, or even where you're walking, or the cars going over the road create electric due to these generators underneath. Why wouldn't you have that everywhere if it's not to mess you about and get as much money out of you as possible? It's like we're physically being held back for a reason. It's like solar panels and wind turbines. There's better things out there than that. It's just all about money and.
It's about keeping us in a negative frame of mind, a stressed and negative frame of mind, no matter how much you try, you know.
That's why they have these fear events like 9/11 and Sandy Hook. Keep you in that negative state of mind and in a sense of fear, and then you can't make good decisions. And honestly, who's going to – if you're scared that every fucking Muslim in the world is going to blow you up or somebody's going to walk in the kid in school and shoot your kids, you don't have time to worry about these other things.
No, but it's –
can't blame people for that. I mean, you know, if they don't see through it, I mean, you understand why they are the way they are.
No, because that programming is really efficient. It's really efficient. You indoctrinate an entire generation. I mean, you see what they do in the countries we conquer now. You go in there and take a hold of their infrastructure. All you have to do, you need two generations and you could change the entire thought process for that country.
Yep.
For all the up and coming generations after that. It's unbelievable. But even here, with our indoctrination centers, you go to school, first thing is the world, Earth's a globe. I mean, dinosaurs ran around, and those are just rocks.
Yeah. Christopher Columbus was an amazing person, too. Don't forget that one.
Soldier and a rapist.
Exactly. Exactly.
Wow. No, but it's difficult in that sense because, you know, the information's controlled by a handful of people, in essence. And it's only divvied out to where they want you to know when they want you to know it. And then, you know, we're the crazy ones for trying to get away from that and learn more about what really goes on.
It's crazy how frowned upon what we are because of just we want to look at things and we don't trust what we're told. It's not even like we have this... Like, okay, you know, it's not like we have follow a political party and we have, let me turn my camera on, and we have this like overall like narrative or something. It's like we don't trust what we're told about anything.
So you're stripping.
So we look into it, you know? Look into it.
You better start shaking it. I got dollars.
I know. I thought he was going to go up and stripping, then he was getting up.
Yeah, he's getting excited.
Jesus Christ, I'll shut my camera off and go fuck yourself.
You know, Brian, you know what's really weird? Same time I did. I was standing up and I looked at on my computer and you're standing up. I'm like, oh wow.
Oh no, send you message. You need to run the sly. Go, baby.
Shut up, Paul. No, my leg is a cramp. No, that's why. When I look at the screen and Brian standing up. Well, I don't know.
Hey, all we can do, right, is stuff like this. We get together. We talk every week like we do. We have people on that are intelligent, like Mike, like Joey, other people we've had on and we're going to have on. And we just shoot back and forth ideas and share research. And we don't know where this is going to lead us, but can we really just sit around and deal with the lies? That's what my problem is. And people say, well, what can we do? Oh, how are we going to change it? Or how long is it going to take? I don't know. And even if it's longer than, you know, you think is cool, even if it's not 2-3 years, if it's 10, 20 years or 100 years, I'm not going to sit around and just continue to be lied to and try not to do anything about it. I'm going to try and figure it out.
I think it's important that we don't get overly heated about the lies too, because remember our negative energy, you know, we have to.
Yeah,
we have
that all feeds off of each other for sure.
Yeah, not that we're going to change the world, but we might change our reality just a little bit if we change our own energy, our own vibration. I don't know. It's hard to do when you have so much going on in the world that's so negative. It's really hard to stay positive. But you got to try.
Yeah, for sure. But I don't know. Anybody else have anything you want to finish out with? I think we're pretty much about to wrap it up.
Keep thinking.
What'd you say, Mike?
No, I said keep thinking, keep looking. Don't you take shit at face value. Mm. Like none of it. None of it. Stop being led around by the nose.
Yeah. And nobody is fully awake, awoke, any of those terms. We're all in a process of it. Maybe some are further along than others. But the people that tell you how awoke they are generally the people that are pretty much asleep. So,
yeah, they tell you about how they voted for Trump and, you know, the two-party system works.
How Trump's going to Trump's gonna expose the flat earth.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, come on, man. If voting worked, they wouldn't let you do it. Voting is to perpetuate the mirage of democracy, and that's all it is. It's a construct of control to keep you thinking that you have a say in your slavery, and you don't. Nobody gives a shit about you.
Exactly.
They don't give a shit about me. They don't give a shit about anybody. It's about money. It's about control. It's about power.
I never voted. I never voted, and I never will. I wouldn't waste my time.
No, because they're selected. Every one of them selected. If you think that's not the case, then, you know, really start looking into these things. It's just like wrestling. Every November when it's time for election, it's just like wrestling, and it goes forever, and everybody's yelling and screaming and arguing with each other, but behind the scenes, they're all in the same club. Right. They're all doing the same shit.
Yeah.
It doesn't stop.
I agree.
I'd say that wrestling's even more real if you ever listen to those shoot interviews. They get legit really heated at each other more than any politicians do when they're acting, I'm telling you.
Nah, they do, man. I mean,
That shit's I do that shit. I listen to that shit like all the time. That's what I do to unwind, man. I laugh my balls off, dude. That's just let me plug a couple things real quick. Anybody that's listening live, this is my backup channel, The Real News Online. We still have about a month left of our fucking 3-month ban. But all my shows do get uploaded to my main channel after youtube.com/user/BrianSStavely. If you're seeing this on the replay and not live on either channel, at the end of this video, just look on the screen. You'll see a link to Paul's channel. You'll see a link to my main channel or my backup, depending on what channel you're on, and a link to a couple of my playlists. We'll put Mike's link to his Facebook if he wants down in the show notes. Gloria and Paul's links are already down there. And I don't know. That's about all I wanted to plug, but we don't have to, you know, stop right now if you guys still want to – anything you want to say? Paul, how about you?
No, it's just not a coincidence because I did know about it, but I just forgot about it. I'm playing that new Assassin's Creed game. I'm not going to mention what me and Glory was talking about, but I was noticing that, like, the Spartans, obviously, are red, and they were fighting the Athenians were blue. I mean, what else do you see red and blue?
Oh, anyway. Bloods and Crips.
Exactly. You got the president, the Democrats. Yeah. You got Pets.
The donkey and the elephant that they got.
And then I saw I'm to watch a Santos Bonacci thing today I've posted, and he was talking about it being feminine and the male, the blue and the red. So that's why it get you see a lot of it everywhere without you realizing it.
Yep, and you see it in the Republican, Democratic parties in the U.S.
All through history, in a lot of flags, it's red and blue as well.
Yeah.
And they have to have the white. The white is the ether. So it gets about a bit, and that was just... I've not watched it in a long time, and I just came across it today, an accident, and I just started watching it again. And once you start researching other things and you go back and see different old videos, you pick up on everything a lot more. And it just, you know, it just rung true to me because it's red and blue everywhere that I'm seeing.
You're deep, Paul. You're real deep. We're going to call you Paul Deep.
That sounds like thingy from June, now.
Taking it deep.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, you said then, didn't you?
And I don't mean like David Ortiz in the bottom of the ninth.
But what she said then, you ever watched June and it's more deep?
No, I don't know.
That's what his name is. Never watched June. Oh my God.
June?
D-U-N-A. It's one of the classics.
Oh, June. June. Yeah. June, like the month of June. June. When I was a little kid, I saw it. I don't remember it.
His name he's given is called Paul Modeep. That just sounded like it.
Didn't they remake that movie like a decade ago too?
Yeah, it was a series.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's got a hell of a lot of Freemason stuff in it because he was a Freemason. You know, who made it.
Yeah. We're going to have an upcoming special too. Like we did we did the ISS special with the top 10 Mandela effects. We're also going to do our top 10 flat earth proofs. Maybe next week or maybe in 2 or 3 weeks. So stay tuned for that. Anybody out there that wants to see that, we're going to do a whole show dedicated to that. And as far as for whatever's on board for next week, whatever comes up, you know, we'll talk about whatever. Mandela effect, flat earth, 9/11, giants, ancient trees, whatever. We'll see what comes up. So I want to thank everybody that was on today. Mike, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it. And if anybody wants to follow, you have my playlist on your YouTube, right?
Yeah, I'll put the link to the playlist in the show notes for all these videos. So that'll be up within like 30 minutes on this show. And once I upload the other ones, I'll put... You want me to put your Facebook link in there for people too? Or email? Or
ain't no big deal.
Facebook?
Yeah, Facebook's fine. But yeah, that's my path to where I'm at now with those videos. I mean, I've done some outside research besides for that, but you know, time constraints. I mean, I hit those up pretty hard.
Yeah, I watched a bunch of them today too, so that was good. Gloria, if you guys want to contact Gloria, her Facebook page is listed in the show notes to every show. As is Paul's, be sure to sub Paul's channel, Black Sheep of Flat Earth. That is linked in the show notes, and if you're watching the replay, you'll see a little thing just to click on it on the screen. And make sure you also check out Mike's interview, which I'll link. We interviewed Mike a couple months ago. It was one of my first video interviews. I think it was the second one. No, it was like the third or fourth one. Really good interview, and we had an after show where he kind of opened up about some of these topics, and we got into other stuff too. But
I remember that after show.
Somebody porn bombed the after show.
Oh, that was classic. Yeah.
It was probably Paul.
Yeah.
probably was.
His alter ego. Right.
Yeah, so we'll leave all the links for everything you guys need. Make sure you check out Mike's other interviews though for sure. We got his personal awakening story where you know how I do those on the awakening playlist. If you haven't checked them out, check them out. There's a whole bunch of people with their own perspective, their own awakening story. I'm not even there to debate them on the topics. Just let them tell their story. And then we started doing after show. Like yours was the first after show we did. So that turned out to be a pretty cool thing. That way we keep the interview short, but if people are interested, they tune into the after show. We do more back and forth than just the guests talking, and we take calls and whatnot. So thank you, everybody. Be sure to sub both channels, Paul's channel. Follow Mike, follow Gloria. And you've been listening to Dose of Reality Radio. Have a good week, everybody. Have a good night, and see you soon.